Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot to get to today. A little bit later on in the hour, we're going to get to Democrats continuing to smear the Attorney General of the United States. But we begin today with some good news about the economy. The economy generated a stronger than expected 263,000 new jobs in April, helping to drive down the unemployment rate to a 49-year low of 3.6%. The increase in new jobs easily topped the 217,000 Market Watch forecast. The jobless rate slid from 3.8% in March to hit the lowest level since December of 1969. Economists consider anything below a 4% unemployment rate in the United States to effectively be full employment. The average wage paid to American workers rose 6 cents, or 0.2%, to $27.77 an hour. Now, I want to, again, emphasize that wage, $27.77 an hour. We keep hearing from the left that a $15 minimum wage is necessary. The average wage in the United States is more than $12 more than that. The number of people who are surviving on minimum wage is extraordinarily low overall. The 12-month rate of hourly wage gains was unchanged at 3.2%. Hours worked each week fell 0.1 hour in April to 34.4. So for all the talk about how Americans are being deeply overworked, if people are working less than 35 hours a week on average, it is hard to make the case that they are being desperately overworked. Less than 35 hours a week on average, and wages are increasing, means that people aren't being worked harder for less pay. It means they are making more pay for working fewer hours. 35 hours a week is 7 hours a day. Okay, some simple math will tell you this. This does not mean that people are slaving away in a wage slave economy the way the Democrats seem to be suggesting. The government revised the increase in new jobs in March to 189,000 from preliminary 196,000. February's gain was raised to 56,000 from 33,000, which means that the past months have also seen higher increases in jobs than normal. The economy is still going great guns. President Trump's economy, he doesn't get full credit for the economy because no president does. Obama didn't. But he does get credit for not quashing the economy. President Obama got blame for the slowest recovery in American history. And the economy continues to boom. So this is very good news for President Trump. As I've said, if the economy continues to be good, and if President Trump keeps his mouth shut, then he will have a significant shot of being able to win a general election, re-election bid. And if you look at the polls right now, it's fascinating. If you look at the polls right now, what you are seeing is that the various Democrats running against President Trump are not running in the mid-50s. You would expect, given President Trump's approval rating, that all of these polls would have Trump at 42%, the same as his approval rating. But his approval rating does not match up with the number of people who say they will vote for him. His approval rating hangs around in the low 40s. The number of people who say that they will vote for him is always hanging about 45 to 47%. In fact, the only candidate in this new CNN poll, this is amazing, this new CNN poll, the only candidate who drives Trump down to his approval rating in terms of his public support for voting is Beto. Really, this new poll from CNN has Beto at 52 and Trump at 42. It's pretty hilarious, actually. So it has Bernie at 50 and Trump at 44, which I think would not be the final result of that election cycle. It has Biden at 51 and Trump at 45, which is the reason that Biden right now is doing so well in the primaries, because Democrats are effectively suggesting that he is the most electable candidate. Pete Buttigieg only at 47% to Trump's 44%. Kamala Harris at 49% to Trump's 45%, so they're not winning a majority against the guy as unpopular as President Trump. Elizabeth Warren loses to Trump in this poll. So Trump 48, Elizabeth Warren 47. Naturally, this means probably that Democrats will probably nominate Elizabeth Warren. I think that's the way this works. Okay, so that's the latest on the political race. Now, the real big news this morning is not even the economy, although that's huge news. The real big news this morning is that Facebook has now banned a bevy of what the media termed far-right extremists. There's only one problem. Some of the people who are termed far-right extremists are not, in fact, of the right. Okay, so they labeled Louis Farrakhan a far-right leader. The New York Times talked about what happened here, and then we'll get to the media coverage of the actual issue. So the New York Times originally said that far-right extremists were being banned, and they used that description for Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam and a virulent anti-Semite who's been pictured with virtually everybody in prominent circles on the left. An article for The Atlantic was originally titled Instagram and Facebook Ban Far-Right Extremists. The New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, and The Atlantic all describe Louis Farrakhan as a far-right extremist. Now, the reason that this matters, I will get to in just one second. So here is the actual story. According to The New York Times, after years of wavering about how to handle the extreme voices populating its platform, Facebook on Thursday evicted seven of its most controversial users, many of whom are conservatives, immediately inflaming the debate about the power and accountability of large technology companies. Now, I think it is worthwhile noting here that the New York Times description is funny. As soon as they start describing people who are fringe, like Alex Jones, they start calling them conservatives. That's because for the press, there is no difference from between conservatives and, quote, far-right extremists. Right? According to The Economist, I was alt-right, and then when they corrected it, I was a radical conservative. There is no difference for the media between a normal mainstream conservative and Alex Jones. They just don't see any distinction there. And not only that, they also see if somebody is extreme, that person must be far right. I've never seen any of these newspapers describe anybody, as far as I can recall, as a far left extremist. Right? Bernie Sanders is an open socialist who used to defend the Soviet Union and talk about the glories of breadlines, and he is the secondary contender in Democratic primaries right now. The press conflate conservatism with alt-right, and then they conflate not being a wild leftist with being a conservative, and they lump all of that together. And then they say, okay, conservatives are bad. This is how the game is played. The social network said it had barred Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist and founder of InfoWars, from its platform, along with a handful of other extremists. Louis Farrakhan, the outspoken black nationalist minister who has frequently been criticized for his anti-Semitic remarks, was also banned. The Silicon Valley company said these users were disallowed from using Facebook and Instagram under its policies against dangerous individuals and organizations. Now, their statements here is so impermissibly vague. It's so insanely vague. If you're going to ban somebody from your platform, you should have a pretty good reason. You're talking about Facebook, which is the biggest social media platform on planet Earth with billions of users. If you are a platform, you really should have to release a specific statement explaining what this person did wrong, not only so that the person has a right to defend themselves against the charge, which could very well be a smear, but also so that everybody else knows what the rules are. But Facebook is acting like an arbitrary centralized government here, banning people without even, we don't need to give you an excuse why you were banned, you're just banned. Why? Well, because we call you a hateful extremist. Well, what makes somebody a hateful extremist? Facebook has no hard definition because it's an innately malleable term. A Facebook spokeswoman said in a statement, quote, "We've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology. The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive. And it is what led us to our decision to remove those accounts today." Well, thanks. I now know nothing about your standard. This statement itself has a bunch of problems embedded in it. So they say they've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate. Okay, well, Alex Jones has been promoting exactly the same sorts of material for years. Only now do you decide that he has to be banned. Milo Yiannopoulos has been promoting the exact same sort of stuff for years. Only now do you decide he has to go. Louis Farrakhan has been calling Jews termites for years. Only now do you decide that he has to go. So what changed? What was the new thing that happened that changed Facebook's opinion on all of this? That's question number one. Question number two, they say that they've banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate. Okay, so how about organizations that promote violence against, like, ISIS? So as my friend Eric Weinstein pointed out, he suggested correctly that he is a supporter of the Peshmerga in Kurdistan fighting ISIS. They're engaged in violence. Does that mean that he is engaged in supporting violence? I mean, you're going to have to make some distinctions here, I would assume. And then they conflate violence and hate. Organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate. Because Alex Jones, so far as I'm aware, has not engaged in violence. Now, if you can show me evidence that he had, like, I've seen no evidence that Paul Joseph Watson, another person who was banned mainly because he's the top reporter at InfoWars, I've seen no evidence at all that Paul Joseph Watson has engaged in violence. Now, we have to make a distinction between violence and speech. I'll explain in just a second. First, there's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support, needs, and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is indubitably, indescribably comfortable. It is so great. My wife and I took the 2-minute sleep quiz. It arrived customized to our door. The mattress did. We popped it on the bed frame. We were good to go. You can have just as good a mattress as we do, personalized to you, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Okay, so back to this statement from Facebook. They say again that they've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate. So as I say, the violence standard is vague. And then they're conflating violence and hate. So people saying bad things is not the same thing as people issuing calls for, say, murder. I should know this because, as news have reported, there's a person who was arrested this week for making violent death threats against Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr., and who has made violent death threats against me and against my employees. Okay, this person was engaged in a level of criticism that is not the norm. That's why this person has been arrested right now. And thank you to law enforcement for doing their job. There's a vast difference between that and people who just say bad things about me, who say hateful things about me. And there are plenty of people who say hateful things about me on a regular basis. There is a vast difference between people utilizing their free speech in ways that I don't like. I get hit by more of it than... Listen, I was the number one target of anti-Semitic bile in 2016, according to the Anti-Defamation League. The number one target. I never filed a police report with any of this stuff. I know the difference between people who are spewing hateful garbage at me and people who are actively threatening my life. There's a difference between violence and hate. There's a difference between speech and violence, no matter how much I dislike the speech. So that's a distinction that Facebook seems to be obliterating. And then finally, they have no hard definition as to what is hateful. So this is completely arbitrary. Now it's, okay, well, basically what it feels like is that Facebook came up with a list of people that they wanted to ban who were anti-left. I don't want to say they're on the right because, I think that the right is a somewhat confusing term sometimes. When I say the right, generally, I'm talking about conservatives. When the press uses the right, they mean people who are anti-left. I don't think that those are the same category of people. There are a lot of people who are anti-left who also happen to be not conservative and anti-conservative. One group of people who seem to be anti-left but also are not conservative in any way are white supremacists, for example. They are anti-left because they don't like multiculturalism and because they are racial supremacists and all of that. But they are not conservative because they don't believe in government. They don't believe in the values of Western civilization. They scorn Judeo-Christian values. They scorn the idea of freedoms in the Constitution. Right? Those are people who are anti-left, but they are not conservative. The media will consider them right. So for purposes of the media's terminology, the people who they are banning, many of them, are on the quote-unquote right. They really mean anti-left. Okay, but they kind of threw Louis Farrakhan in there so that they could say, listen, we're not biased here. We're throwing in Louis Farrakhan too. But the fact is that, again, none of these people said anything new that got them banned. Facebook is simply deciding that they want to oust people that they consider hateful. Now, I may even agree with some of the people who they consider hateful. Again, I've been personally targeted by several of the people on this list. But that does not mean that my definition of hate is the definition of hate that is legally applicable. It doesn't mean that my definition of hate should trump everybody else's definition of hate. There really is too much play in the joints here. Now, I think that if Facebook wanted to issue rules that say you're not allowed to call people certain names, for example, like you can't call somebody the N-word. Like, how about a clear definition of rules? How about that? That's pretty much all that people are asking for, and Facebook refuses to grant that. Instead, they wish to go after people along vague standards, and those standards do not apply equally to everybody. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Facebook's supposedly consistent standards with regard to whom they ban, but Those standards are not consistent in any way, and I have the proof for you. That's coming up. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. So, Facebook has now banned Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Louis Farrakhan, and they say they have a very consistent standard. This is simply not true. They say that the process for evaluating potential violators is extensive. It's what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today. Facebook's move, says The New York Times, is one of the tech industry's broadest actions to punish high-profile extremists at a time when social media companies are under fire for allowing hateful content and misinformation to spread on their services. It's a politically delicate moment, they say. And then the only suggestion that we have seen thus far with regard to why many of these people were banned is because many of these people featured shows hosting, for example, Gavin McGinnis. So Facebook found instances of extremism by Alex Jones and others that pushed the company to take action against them, according to the New York Times. For example, Jones last year hosted an InfoWars show featuring Gavin McGinnis, a far-right political commentator whom Facebook had designated as a hate figure. Okay, you know who used to host Gavin McGinnis? Was CRTV. CRTV used to have a show with Gavin McGinnis. Now, The Blaze TV. Are they going to ban The Blaze TV? Gavin McGinnis has appeared on a wide variety of shows, including Fox News. Does this mean Fox News will now be banned? Yiannopoulos had signaled praise for Gavin McGinnis earlier this year. By the way, on the spectrum of people who suck, Gavin McGinnis is actually not as crappy as Milo Yiannopoulos, in my personal opinion. But if the idea is anybody who's ever talked to Gavin McGinnis gets thrown out, well, then this is going to create quite a problem for Facebook as well. Now, the reason it's going to create quite a problem for Facebook and for Instagram, for example, is because one of the people they banned was Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is as evil in his views as anybody on the list. I would say more evil in his views than pretty much everyone on the list. He's probably the most evil of the people who are on this list, Louis Farrakhan. For years, he's been an open, brutal, blatant anti-Semite who uses genocidal language about Jews. And Louis Farrakhan is being pushed today by Snoop Dogg. So, is Instagram and Facebook, are they going to ban Snoop Dogg? Because the fact is that, according to the New York Times, people like Alex Jones are being banned not for stuff that they did, but for featuring Gavin McGinnis. And Milo Yiannopoulos is being banned. By the way, I think Milo sucks, right? Milo is the kind of person, as a human being, who during the 2016 election, he said that I was insufficiently committed to the cause of preserving whiteness in the United States effectively, and he called me a cuck for this. And on the day that my son was born, he sent me a picture of a black baby on Twitter, because obviously I wanted my wife to have sex with a black man to produce a black child, because I was in favor of what? The racial mixing of the United States or something? I mean, it's just, it was an insane thing. So Gavin, so Yiannopoulos is bad on his own merits. But Yiannopoulos is being banned because he signaled praise for Gavin McGinnis? Okay, fine. If that's the standard, why is Snoop Dogg still on Facebook and Instagram? Yesterday, he put out an Instagram video in which he actively encouraged people to post videos of Louis Farrakhan on Facebook and on Instagram. This is okay? Snoop Dogg was at the White House, by the way, with Barack Obama. Snoop Dogg is a deeply influential public figure. So, does Snoop Dogg go away? Because if it's guilt by association, this is a pretty strong association, is it not? Milo is banned, or Paul Joseph Watson is banned for, so let me just get this right. Paul Joseph Watson is banned because he is associated with Alex Jones, who is associated with Gavin McGinnis. Is this the standard Facebook is using now? Okay, you're going to have to ban Snoop Dogg, right? Snoop Dogg is actively associating with Louis Farrakhan if this is the standard. Now, I don't think any of these people should be banned. I love this. Joan Donovan, the director of Harvard's Technology and Social Change Research Project, who studies online extremism, says, I'm sure they're going to make a slippery slope argument here. No, I'm not making a slippery slope argument. I am making an argument that you do not have clear standards by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying you're going after Alex Jones, therefore you'll go after Paul Joseph Watson, therefore you will go after me. That is not the case that I am making. The case I am making is that you have not articulated any standard at all. And I have proof. I have proof that there is no absolute principle being applied here. This proof comes courtesy of Jewish Insider today. Quote, in a letter, Facebook Vice President Joel Kaplan makes clear the site will not remove lies or content that is inaccurate, and that includes denying the Holocaust. So if you are an open Holocaust denier, you will not be removed from Facebook. But if you once had a conversation with Gavin McGinnis or said something nice about Gavin McGinnis not on Facebook, you will be removed from Facebook. Kaplan, who is the vice president for global public policy at Facebook, he said that Facebook intends to allow Holocaust denial on the platform so long as it doesn't advocate violence against Jewish people in any way. By the way, this is the actual correct perspective. What Kaplan is articulating here should be the perspective. You should be allowed to say whatever you want on places like Facebook so long as you are not advocating for violence, because there is a stark difference between violence and speech that is unpalatable and gross and terrible. Kaplan says, I want to underscore that Facebook rejects hate. We take down any content that celebrates, defends, or attempts to justify the Holocaust. So let me get this straight. If you deny the Holocaust, if you say it didn't happen, you're cool. But if you take down, but if you put up content that says the Holocaust was justified, then you're bad. What does he think Holocaust deniers do? Does he think that Holocaust deniers are just like, no, you know, I have questions about the historicity. Is that really what he thinks that Holocaust denial is? Holocaust denial is a way of downplaying the evil of the Nazis. That's what Holocaust denial is for. Okay, so the same goes for any content that mocks Holocaust victims, accuses victims of lying about atrocities, spews hate, or advocates for violence against Jewish people in any way. So now he's broadening the standard again. But the standard is so inconsistent that, like, my sister has been targeted on Facebook by anti-Semites. She's reported them for years. Okay, nothing has ever happened to any of these people. This is a wildly inconsistent standard. And the media, who are celebrating Facebook for doing this, how they're finally standing up to hate. I have some questions about this media. I have some questions about these free speech firefighting advocates. Because I don't think that that's actually what they are doing here. I don't think that's actually what they are doing here. And again, if we are going to now start banning people for having guests on their program, you know who had Alex Jones on his program? Joe Rogan. So is YouTube and Facebook, are these people going to ban Joe Rogan now? And then because I had Joe Rogan on, are they going to ban me? And then because they had me on, are they going to ban everyone? Because I've been on pretty much, I mean, like, I've been on with Vox. Like, I'm going to start, this is all nonsense. It's anti-free speech nonsense. Coming up, our firefighters in the media who say they are very much in favor of free speech. You know, democracy dies in darkness and all of that. Well, they've been pretty happy with Facebook banning all of these...
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation.
I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's very odd to watch the media, you know, those great free speech advocates, basically sitting and clapping as Facebook bans people from its platform. I mean, I saw members of the media celebrating this yesterday because they don't like any of the figures on the list. Guess what? I'm not fond of any of the figures on the list, and I've been targeted personally by many of them. I keep repeating that because I do not have a stake in these people staying online other than that I like free speech, which seems like a pretty heavy stake. Hey, the reason I don't trust the media on this stuff is because the media lie and then they conflate. To the media, as I mentioned earlier, as they labeled Louis Farrakhan a far-right extremist, there is no such thing as a far-left extremist, and everyone on the right is an extremist who ought to be banned. As evidence, I point to the Poynter Institute, a journalism nonprofit organization. They put up a list of 515 news websites it identified as unreliable. They raised eyebrows this week when it posted that index of what it identified as unreliable news sites. The index came from merging various lists identifying websites purportedly spreading misinformation. The list was compiled by the group's International Fact-Checking Network. It initially included the Washington Examiner. The language on the website called for full boycotts by advertisers of all of these blacklisted sites. And the list included everyone. It included Daily Wire. It included Drudge Report. It included Breitbart. It included Daily Signal from Heritage Foundation. It included the Washington Examiner. It included just an enormous, enormous list of pretty much every site that was to the right of center. Like, all of them were considered unreliable by Poynter. And finally, after blowback, and they were calling for boycotts of these folks, right? This is what the left will do. This is why Media Matters does this. They try to label the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's all the same. They try to generate the idea that if you are anywhere to the right of center or anti-left in any way, that you ought to be banned, that you are unreliable, and that you ought to be shut down. You ought to be deplatformed, is the way that they put it. And Poynter actually has it pulled the list. But I promise you, if Poynter had not pulled the list, it would be cited by the New York Times and the Washington Post. Every time they mention the Daily Wire in any of their stories, they would say, an organization that Poynter has declared unreliable. They do that with Media Matters all the time. For years, they were using the Southern Poverty Law Center, a hack left organization, to smear all right-wing sources. Every time they mentioned PragerU or Daily Wire or anybody else, they would say, an organization deemed hateful by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So the media create this echo chamber where everybody who disagrees with them is evil and everybody who agrees with them is good. And you can tell who's evil and who's good by who disagrees with you. Very convenient. Well, on Thursday night, Poynter actually had to pull the list. Their managing editor, Barbara Allen, posted a letter to the editor explaining the decision. Allen wrote that the initial aim of the project was to provide a useful tool for readers to gauge the legitimacy of the information they were consuming. However, she wrote, soon after we published, we received complaints from those on the list and readers who objected to the inclusion of certain sites and the exclusion of others. We began an audit to test the accuracy and veracity of the list. And while we feel that many of the sites did have a track record of publishing unreliable information, our review found weaknesses in the methodology. We detected inconsistencies between the findings of the original databases that were the sources for the list and our own rendering of the final report. As a result, she wrote that Poynter was removing this unreliable sites list until we are able to provide our audience a more consistent and rigorous set of criteria. Well, there is no consistent and rigorous set of criteria here. One of the things that I always find amusing is that they put together these lists, the members of the left do, in which they say that sites are unreliable. How do they determine unreliable? They find a couple of stories that have been wrong over the course of a four-year history, and then they say the site is unreliable. You see this in a lot of these studies. Okay, well, the New York Times blows stories on a pretty routine basis. So does CNN. These are not considered unreliable sources because the vast majority of stories that they print are not factually inaccurate. Well, we here at the Daily Wire post 50 stories a day. We've been doing so for 4 years. That means that at this point we have posted tens of thousands of stories. It should not be hard to find four or five stories that are unreliable. But that is also true for all these other outlets. What this really comes down to is a subjective method of measuring the sites you don't like and then finding some sort of covering excuse to ban them. It's almost impossible not to read this stuff in this way. So what should be done about this? So there's been a lot of talk about the idea of regulating Facebook as a public utility. Now, I don't think that Facebook is a public utility. It's a private company. Facebook is actually begging the United States government to regulate them. Facebook, Twitter, they've been asking members of the government to regulate them. Why? Because they are on the verge of being bankrupted by the European standards on hate speech. So they're caught between sort of a rock and a hard place. In Europe, they don't have the same standards on speech because Europe does not respect free speech in the same way that the United States does. One of the reasons the U.S. is better than Europe. The U.S. has better standards on free speech. That is a very, very good thing, and you are the beneficiary of it. Okay, but what's happening in Europe right now is that the Europeans have set these standards for hate speech, and then they are looking at suing or taking down Facebook over quote-unquote hate speech appearing on the platform. So Facebook is now looking for similar regulation from the United States so that they don't have to be eaten alive by the market in the United States. They can blame it on the government of the United States. That's what's actually happening here. Now, there's been a lot of talk about whether they should be regulated because they're effectively a monopoly. I don't think they're effectively a monopoly because I think that there can be competitors to Facebook. I'm not a fan of antitrust law as a general area of law. The only monopolies that I really see are government-guaranteed monopolies. If you are just a company that is very successful in your space and you are not gouging the customer, I don't think that you have a technical monopoly. I tend to be a consumer-side advocate when it comes to deciding whether a company is a monopoly. There's sort of two theories of monopoly. One is that if you are the only company in your space, so the supply side, then you are a monopoly. The consumer side says, well, who cares if you're the only company in your space, so long as you're not gouging the consumer. If the consumer is getting a better product, that is the purpose of the market. It is the possibility of competition that allows for cheap products to continue being in the marketplace. Two different theories of monopoly. I tend to side with the second theory, which is why I was not in favor of, for example, breaking up Microsoft in the late 90s. Okay, the other way of looking at Facebook is to try and reason out whether they are in fact a platform or a publisher. You've heard me talk about this before. In a second, I'm going to explain, legally speaking, what that means. First, not being able to make it home to moms to celebrate Mother's Day, well, that can suck. But with 1-800-Flowers.com, distance doesn't mean anything because you can still brighten her day with a gorgeous bouquet. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. 24 multicolored roses for just $24. That's a buck per rose. I mean, that's a great price. I love 1-800-Flowers. I mean that. For years, I have been using them to send flowers to my wife every time I go out of town. Last week, when I found out that my wife passed her boards, I ordered from 1-800-Flowers and it arrived direct to the door. Just beautiful, beautiful bouquet with a bright and beautiful mix of premium roses in a rainbow of colors. These blooms are guaranteed to show mom just how much she's loved. Multicolored roses are the perfect way to surprise all of the moms in your life. Wife, sister, grandma. I know, I already got some for my mom. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from Premier Farms, shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 24 multicolored roses for $24. It's an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires today. To order 24 multicolored roses for $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on that radio icon, enter code Shapiro. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Shapiro. Hurry, that fantastic offer expires today. Alrighty, so let's talk for a second about whether Facebook is a platform or a publisher. So, to illustrate the difference between a platform and a publisher, think about the difference between your phone line and DailyWire.com, right, the website that I run. So your phone line, if you are talking on your phone line and you say something terrible, AT&T, Verizon, they are not responsible for what happens on your phone line. Right? None of them are responsible for what Mint Mobile, they're not responsible for what happens on your phone line because it's an open platform. Okay, my publisher, if I print something that is libelous, we can be sued. If we violate copyright, we can be sued. And now there's a section, 47 U.S.C. 230, which is a provision of the Communications Decency Act, which creates an enormous amount of freedom on the Internet. It's a very good provision as a general rule. Section 230 was designed to protect providers or to protect publishers platforms effectively. Section 230 says, quote, no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. So in other words, YouTube is not really responsible for you posting a copyright violative video. You are responsible for that. Now, YouTube will take it down because they don't want to be legally liable, but it is you who are responsible for that. The same thing is true on Facebook. If you decide to post something that is a violent threat, Facebook is not responsible for your violent threat. You are responsible for your violent threat, which is appropriate. These are open platforms. Anyone can post virtually anything. And in fact, it is even true that on Daily Wire, the site that I run, We are not responsible for your comments. If we have open threads and you post something that is terrible or libelous, we are not responsible for all that. Now, that changes. All of that should change, logically speaking, if there is no clearly articulated standard by which comments are being removed or by which videos are being removed. In other words, let's say that YouTube decides that they are only going to release videos provided by users that are on one topic. And then they just decide that they are going to remove all other topics. That's a clear standard. But now let's say that YouTube is doing what people suspect they are doing, which is demonetizing specific sides of the aisle, that they are taking down videos that violate certain things and not taking down other videos. Let's say that Facebook decides to do that. The question now is, do they look more like how I run my website, Daily Wire, where all of my independent contractors write for me, we're responsible for them? Does it look more like that? And we have free contributors, by the way, and we are responsible for their writing. If people write for us, it doesn't matter if we pay them. If we print something and it goes through the editorial process and then it goes up, we are responsible for that. Does Facebook look more like that? Or does Facebook look more like an open forum where they're like back policing things on a consistent basis? If there are no standards articulated, there's a good case to be made that Section 230 of the Communications Act should be changed to require that if you are a platform, you should have to have at least a clearly articulated standard for what is removed and what is not. Because otherwise, you're really not acting like a platform. Really, you're acting more like a publisher. Like, I decide on an editorial level what we wish to publish. Well, Facebook, if they have decided that politically motivated concerns are the issue, well, then they look more like us. So that is what is going on with these sort of vague hate standards. If you have a vague hate standard that is only being applied to one side of the aisle, that would suggest that you are acting more like a publisher than like a platform. And that means that there should be some serious consideration to revising Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Now, the case against that, just to give the other side, is that you don't want government getting involved with regulating websites generally. You don't want the government involved. Now, I don't think that's what would be happening here. I think that instead what would be happening here is that you are opening up to liability websites that act like publishers. They're not quashing my free speech. I'm the publisher of Daily Wire. They're not quashing my free speech, the fact that we can be sued for libel or for copyright violation. Well, the same case could be made with regard to Facebook. If you're responsible for your material, you're responsible for your material. There's a better thing that could happen here. Hey, Facebook is asking for wider regulation than that, by the way. They want the government to actually regulate the speech that can be put on Facebook. But there's a better stance than this, which is, how about a clearly articulated standard that says what you can put up and what you cannot put up on Facebook? How about that? How about like terms of service that aren't impermissibly vague? How about you have to offer an excuse when you ban somebody from your service, and so we can all see it and learn from the case study? But these social media companies don't want to do that, and that's why people are so suspicious of what exactly is going on here. And they should be suspicious of what is going on here. Again, if you are a person who has once said a nice thing about Paul Joseph Watson, and you're going to be banned, or if you're Paul Joseph Watson yourself, right? Paul Joseph Watson, by the way, is not nearly as extreme, just as a human, from what I have seen. He's not nearly as extreme as even Alex Jones, the guy for whom he works. But if Paul Joseph Watson, if the idea is that Paul Joseph Watson was nice to Gavin McGinnis, Milo Yiannopoulos was nice to Gavin McGinnis, and they can be banned, again, you're going to have to ask, why is Snoop Dogg still there? Why are half the people in Congress who took pictures with Louis Farrakhan still there? These standards are not being evenly applied because they can't even be articulated. They are not even trying to articulate them, frankly, because they know that they're going to get help from the mainstream media that agrees with them. That's the bottom line. In the end, the New York Times is very happy. A free speech newspaper, supposedly, is very happy that these social media outlets are throwing people off that they don't like. I don't like a lot of these people either. That doesn't mean that they should be thrown off the platforms. It doesn't. If you don't like what they have to say, I have an easy solution. You don't have to watch them. I have another easy solution. You can yell at them. All of these are appropriate. I don't mean like physically yell at them and disturb events. I mean like you can go online and you can yell at them. I know. I get a lot of it. So there's that. Okay, meanwhile, the Democrats continue to proclaim that the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, is a liar. A brutal, terrible, evil liar. So Nancy Pelosi says that William Barr lied. What did he lie about? She still cannot name a single lie that William Barr has told. The Attorney General of the United States has fallen under fire for no apparent reason. He wrote a 4-page synopsis of the findings of the Mueller report. Then, within 6 weeks, he released the entirety of the Mueller report. That's called transparency, folks. That ain't a cover-up. Nonetheless, Democrats are going after William Barr because they wish that Robert Mueller had recommended prosecution. He did not. And thus, Democrats say it was William Barr William Barr was what stood between President Trump and prosecution. As I say, if Mueller wanted to recommend prosecution, he could have. Instead, he abdicated. He handed it over to William Barr. William Barr said no, appropriately. I've read the report. But according to Nancy Pelosi, this makes William Barr a political hack and an emissary of evil and a liar. Now, if she believes that he's a perjurer, she can impeach him any time. I don't see her making any serious moves in that direction, do you? In just a second, we're going to continue with the Democrats attacking Attorney General William Barr for no apparent reason. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have decided that William Barr, the Attorney General, is a bad, 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 bad man. Why is he such a bad man? Well, he's a bad man because he released a 4-page letter that was a synopsis of Robert Mueller's findings, and then he released the whole report, you see, and that makes him really bad. And Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is now calling him a criminal and a liar without any evidence at all. Now, here's the truth. Democrats have no intention of doing anything to William Barr. They know Barr didn't do anything wrong. Instead, they're trying to manufacture a scandal so that they can pretend that the Mueller report says something it doesn't. It's not just Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi who is openly suggesting without any evidence at all that William Barr committed perjury, which he did not. It is also Ted Lieu, who is just a terrible congressperson, suggesting that William Barr, the Attorney General, is one of the most dangerous men in the country. Really? You mean that dorky lawyer is one of the most dangerous men in the country for giving you a report that's sitting in front of you, you dolt? My goodness, here is Ted Lieu making that case.
Attorney General Bill Barr is not one of the most dangerous men in Washington, D.C., for three reasons. First, he intentionally mischaracterized the Mueller report. He was then told by Robert Mueller that he mischaracterized the Mueller report. And instead of apologizing, he doubles down and continues to mislead the American people. Second, today he ignored the will of Congress, oversight responsibilities of Congress, and lawfully issued subpoenas. And third, right now he is suing to eliminate your health care coverage. Let's not forget, right now he is suing in court to eliminate pre-existing conditions, health care coverage.
All right, this is just such nonsense. Now, here's the reality. Democrats are not going to do anything about William Barr. This is all sound and fury signifying nothing. This is them whining and bitching and moaning because they didn't get what they wanted from Robert Mueller. And they can't blame Robert Mueller because they spent several years building him up as the deus ex machina who's going to save us all from President Trump. Representative Hakeem Jeffries of New York let the cat out of the bag. He said, we're not jailing Barr. So, like, all this talk about how we're going to hold him in contempt and then throw him in jail, yeah, that's not happening.
How do you get this thing moving? Do you oppose fines? Do you suggest maybe even, as some have said, jail time for the Attorney General of the United States?
Well, jail time is not something that I believe is being seriously contemplated. And look, we're going to continue along the track of trying to find common ground on behalf of the issues that would improve the lives of everyday Americans, while at the same time understanding that there's another lane which is going to require for Congress to hold the administration accountable when it steps over the line, and we're not going to shirk that responsibility either.
Okay, well, you know, they're not going to shirk that responsibility, except that there is no responsibility here because they're not going to do anything. They're not interested in doing anything. So, yeah, all of this is manufactured. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee is trying to get Robert Mueller there in the wild hope that Robert Mueller will come in and then say, listen, I decided that I couldn't indict because the president's the president, but secretly you guys should impeach him. That's what they want from Robert Mueller. I don't think Robert Mueller is going to give that to them. Apparently, NBC News and ABC News are reporting that the committee is now speaking with Mueller's team when it was previously dealing with the Justice Department. NBC reports that a hearing has not been finalized, a date was not set, but they're apparently negotiating with Mueller to come testify. Well, I mean, the networks, I'm sure, will be happy with the ratings because that's exciting stuff. But we have Mueller's thoughts in 450 pages. Got things longer than a Tolstoy novel. We have all of his thoughts. He didn't hide them. They haven't been hidden from you. They are publicly available. You can buy a print copy online right now at Amazon. This is all silly talk. There are new stories that are coming out pretty much every day now about the lengths to which the Hillary Clinton campaign was interfering with other countries in the election of 2016, the extent to which the intelligence community was intervening. There's a story that I've mentioned over the last couple of days in which the New York Times reports that the FBI sent yet another quote-unquote spy, another investigator posing as an assistant to meet with George Papadopoulos. According to the New York Times, there was a woman who posed as a research assistant. She was actually a government investigator. She went to spy on George Papadopoulos. She said her name was Azra Turk, and this would be a spy being deployed to go talk with a member of the Trump campaign. Trump was never told about any of this. There will be investigations into the extent to which the intelligence community targeted members of the Trump campaign, whether Trump himself should have been told, and whether there was enough of a supportive evidentiary basis to suggest the use of informants and surveillance against people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. Okay, that Inspector General report is set to come out, I believe, in June. I think Democrats are fearful of that. I think Democrats are also fearful of new reports like this one that is coming out, according to Fox News. Ukraine's embassy wrote that a Democratic National Committee insider reached out in 2016 seeking dirt on President Trump's team. According to a bombshell new report on Thursday that further fueled Republican allegations that Democrats were the ones improperly colluding with foreign agents during the campaign. Ambassador Valerie Chaley said DNC contractor Alexandra Chalupa pushed for Ukraine's then-president Petro Poroshenko to mention Paul Manafort's ties to Ukraine publicly during a visit to the United States and sought detailed financial information on his dealings in the country, according to The Hill. At the time, Manafort was Trump's campaign chairman. Chaley said in a statement, quote, "The embassy got to know Ms. Chalupa because of her engagement with Ukrainian and other diasporas in Washington, D.C., and not in her DNC capacity. We learned about her DNC involvement later. We were surprised to see Alexandra's interest in Paul Manafort's case. It was her own cause. The embassy representatives unambiguously refused to get involved."
Your comfort and privacy is important, and products installed by Blindsided will improve the quality of life in your home. Enjoy the convenience of remote control power shades, blinds, or the elegant look of plantation shutters with expert installation. Comfort, privacy, and elegance in your home with expert craftsmanship from Blindsided. Call Bill today for an estimate at 945-3969. That's 945-3969.
The annual Orchard Nutrition Health Fair is coming Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's your chance to enjoy lots of free samples of items all related to your health, including a barbecue, fun for the kids, a chance to meet your favorite radio personalities, and great music from DJ Bob Ed. Find out about organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and so much more. And the event is absolutely free. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 221 Locust Street in Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. South Korean and U.S. authorities are analyzing details of a North Korean missile launching. Correspondent George Bonzani reports.
South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff is now saying that North Korea has launched several short-range missiles off its eastern coast. The military said in a statement Saturday Korean time that the missiles flew up to 125 miles before they landed in the sea. The South had previously said that the North had just launched a single missile.
If it's confirmed as a firing of a banned ballistic missile, it'll be the first since the North's test in November of 2017 of an intercontinental ballistic missile. New round of positive economic indicators offering fresh evidence of a strong national economy. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports the government's April jobs report is out. It shows hiring continues at a robust pace.
The Labor Department says U.S. employers added 263,000 jobs last month. That's well ahead of both forecasts and the average monthly gain so far this year. At the same time, the unemployment rate fell to 3.6%, the lowest since December 1969. However, that drop partly reflected an increase in the number of Americans who stopped looking for work. Average hourly pay rose 3.2% over the same time last year, a healthy gain, though unchanged from March. Ben Thomas, Washington.
President Trump says the strong economy is helping his poll numbers.
Our economy is raging, and when we have an economy that maybe is the best economy we've ever had, people tend to like you.
Congo's health ministry says more than 1,000 people have died in an Ebola outbreak that started in August. The Congo's health minister confirmed to the Associated Press that the number of infected people who have died reached 1,008. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two short months ago, the world was in a complete frenzy over the market disruption. And now everything is A-OK, just peachy, right? We think not. Actually, not even close. Investors could be in for a rude awakening sooner than you may think. Don't commit the costly mistake so many other clueless retirees are going to make, getting caught with their pants around their ankles. For a limited time, you can get a 100% free copy of the Roadmap to Safe Retirement Income ebook from Knight Strategic Wealth. You cannot find this ebook anywhere else, and you'll want to read what's inside. It's a step-by-step plan for anyone over the age of 55 who would like to enjoy a stress-free retirement. Text FREE to 48542 and we'll send this eye-opening guide to you instantly. If you want to be able to enjoy life comfortably and never run out of the means to do so, then the Roadmap to Safe Retirement Income is just for you. Text FREE to 48542. Text FREE to 48542.
1 year later, people on Hawaii's Big Island are struggling to adjust to one of the largest and most destructive volcanic eruptions in history from the Kilauea volcano. Here's correspondent Ed Donahue.
Kilauea's eruption destroyed more than 700 homes. It was a close call for Mark Bishop.
It got to within about 20 feet of the house. The lava flowed in.
Kilauea spewed enough lava to bury an area more than half the size of Manhattan. Mark Figley's house is still standing, but the air quality keeps him away.
I walk in the house and the amount that's there, if I'm in there for 15 minutes, I'll have a bad headache.
Harry Kim is the mayor of the Big Island.
We as human beings wish for normal to come back.
He says it would be preferable to get hit by a hurricane or a flood. You can rebuild.
In a volcanic eruption, everything you know is no longer there.
Some neighborhoods are now just vast fields of blackened boulders. I'm Ed Donahue.
News and analysis at townhall.com. General Motors has announced a truck recall after receiving reports of 19 fires caused by engine block heater cords.
The recall is for 368,000 pickups and other trucks worldwide, including 324,000 in the U.S. It covers certain 2017 through 2019 Chevrolet Silverados and GMC Sierras. The company says the electric heater cord, or the terminals connecting the cord to the heater, could short-circuit and start a fire. GM is trying to determine the problem and develop a fix. No injuries have been reported. I'm Mike Hempen.
Land deals that will allow Fiat Chrysler to build a new assembly plant in Detroit are expected to cost the city and state about $107 million. Mayor Mike Duggan has released details of agreements reached for nearly 215 acres on the city's east side. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Welcome, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we got a lot coming up for you this hour, a little bit later on in the hour. We'll check into the mailbag and take some of your questions. Also, a high school is considering removing a mural of George Washington because everyone's a hero these days, guys. From Normandy to this high school, everybody's a hero. But we begin this hour with the 2020 Democratic presidential race, which is getting just weird at this point. Bill de Blasio now says that he wants to jump into the race. I can tell you, groundhogs everywhere are living in fear, man. Groundhogs have already begun mobilizing to stop the threat of weird Bill de Blasio. According to the New York Daily News, de Blasio is expected to announce he's running for president next week because of all the clamor. And by the clamor, I mean there was no one except a hobo pissing into a trash can. Like, somebody asked him from the New York Daily News, should he run for president? He's like, what? Like, I'll take that as a yes. Mayor Bill de Blasio. This is the guy who went to New Hampshire, and he looked for a crowd. He couldn't find one. Every time he walked up to a crowd, everyone's like, who's this weird, gawky guy? And he just sort of walked away. The 2020 announcement could come as early as de Blasio's birthday on Wednesday. Wouldn't that be fitting for him to announce his run on his birthday? Like, I have an early birthday present to me. I'm running for president. He will turn 58 then. The kickoff was initially expected this week. It was pushed back, according to another source. Apparently, his Federal Political Action Committee, Fairness PAC, recently polled Iowa voters. The PAC also bankrolled the mayor's recent travel to early key voting states, including Nevada, Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Fairness PAC spokesman Mike Kaska, who took an unpaid leave of absence from City Hall to work for the committee, said no decision has been made yet. He wouldn't explicitly deny that de Blasio was announcing a campaign next week. He said it's very hard to announce something without a decision. Nearly impossible, some might say. There are already 21 other Democratic candidates. To get on the debate stage, you have to have either 1% or more support in three particular polls, or you have to hit certain thresholds for campaign donations. Well, de Blasio does not meet any of those thresholds. He has helped reduce New York back toward a dirty city that is poorly run. He has driven taxpayers out of the city. So why not do the same for America, is all he's saying. Polls of Democrats nationally and New Yorkers in the five boroughs show little enthusiasm for de Blasio 2020 campaign, according to the Daily News, which is his only political ally in the press over there. A whopping 76% of city voters don't want him to run for president next year. That's always great when your city is polled and three quarters of them are like, no, don't want to be president. That'd be terrible. And you're like, you know what? I'm gonna show them. The odds may be against it, but my heart is in it. He wants to run anyway, so that's exciting stuff. So Bill de Blasio, we can look forward to many, many weird and odd statements from Bill de Blasio, who will be the furthest left candidate in the primaries. I believe, even further left than Bernie Sanders. Although at that point, you're basically arguing between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. Speaking of which, there's a great story from the Washington Post today about Bernie Sanders' 1988 10-day honeymoon in the Soviet Union. So Bernie Sanders, it is worthwhile noting, the People for Bernie Twitter account was like, why are people ripping on Bernie Sanders for having visited the Soviet Union the same year Ronald Reagan did? Because Ronald Reagan was going over there to, you know, fight the Soviet Union and stop them, and Bernie Sanders was going over there to talk about how wonderful they were. Yes, I think this does call from some Bernie Sanders theme music. Ah, Bernie Sanders. According to the Washington Post, he was bare-chested, towel-draped, sitting at a table lined with vodka bottles as he sang, "This land is your land," to his host in the Soviet Union in the spring of 1988. Makes perfect sense, by the way. This land is your land happens to be a commie song. The just-married socialist mayor from Vermont was on what he called a very strange honeymoon, an official 10-day visit to the communist country. He was enthralled with the hospitality and lessons that could be brought home in the Soviet Union. He came back and he said, "Let's take the strengths of both systems. One system has no gulags. One system has gulags. Let's have some gulags." He said, "Let's learn from each other." The Soviet sojourn has been an extraordinary, if little understood, chapter in Sanders' life. No, I think we understood it. I think we got it, actually, given that he's a communist. He has, for years, used it to help explain his views about foreign policy, citing it as recently as last month. The trip garnered brief mention in the 2016 presidential campaign, but earlier this year, a video from a Vermont community television station was posted online that showed a few minutes of Sanders' unlikely celebration with the Soviets. Right-leaning websites suggested Sanders was cozying up to communists, underscoring how the trip might be used against the senator if he becomes the Democratic nominee. Well, we actually don't have to, you know, suggest that he is cozying up to communists. He is sitting there with communists, shirtless, while doing propaganda for them. That's pretty much the definition. I mean, he's not even wearing a shirt, guys. I don't know how cozy you have to be to not wear a shirt. Until now, says the Washington Post, relatively few details about the trip have emerged. Most accounts have relied heavily on Sanders' recollection. An examination by the Washington Post of the trip, based on interviews with five people who accompanied Sanders, as well as audio and video, provided a fresh look at this formative time for Sanders, foreshadowing much of what animates his presidential bid. Well, Sanders is, what, 77 years old now? So that means that back in 1988, so 1988 was 30 years ago, about 31 years ago, so he was in his 40s. He's in his 40s, posing shirtless with the Soviets. So I don't think that you can dismiss this as youthful hijinks. He's probably 10 years older than I am now when he did this. As he campaigns for president a second time, Sanders, an independent who is running in the Democratic primaries, according to the Post, takes credit for moving the party to the left. As he stood on Soviet soil, Sanders, then 46, there it is, he's 46 years old. How intellectually immature must you be to be 46 years old and honeymooning in the Soviet Union? Again, that's 11 years older than I am. As he stood on Soviet soil, Sanders, then 46 years old, criticized the cost of housing and healthcare in the United States while lauding the lower prices, but not the quality of that available in the Soviet Union. Well, might he think that the two are associated? That maybe the crappy housing in the Soviet Union had to do with the fact that it was quote-unquote free and that the Soviet Union was essentially a third world country that centralized all resources? Then, at a banquet attended by about 100 people, Sanders blasted the way the U.S. had intervened in other countries, stunning one of those who had accompanied him. He said this in the Soviet Union, the same Soviet Union that was built by invading surrounding countries and then usurping the territory. The United States, after World War II, did not make Germany part of the United States. The Soviet Union made East Germany a satellite state in the USSR. The Soviet Union invaded all of the surrounding countries. The Soviet Union had just come off an invasion of Afghanistan. And there's Bernie Sanders blathering about how the United States invades other countries in front of the Soviets. David Kelly, who had helped arrange the trip and was the only Republican in Sanders' entourage, said, "I got really upset and walked out." When you're a critic of your country, you can say anything you want on home soil. At that point, the Cold War wasn't over, the arms race wasn't over, I just wasn't comfortable with it. Sanders declined to be interviewed for the article, of course. Jeff Weaver, his senior advisor, said the trip fits into Sanders' efforts to form partnerships between people who may seem at odds with each other. Seem at odds with each other? The Soviet Union was a giant gulag state. Seem at odds? They were pointing hundreds and thousands of nuclear-tipped missiles at the United States. His aide, Weaver, says, quote, "Just like his politics in the U.S. are animated by bringing ordinary people together, His trip to the Soviet Union was an example of that. If you can get people from every walks of life together, you can break through some of the animosity that exists on a governmental level. Except he was meeting with government hand-picked people. He was himself a member of the United States government. He was mayor of Burlington, Vermont at the time. Sanders has often stressed the difference between his views as a democratic socialist and communist dogma, noting that he supports democratic elections and business enterprises that were inimical to the Soviet system. But that's only because he feels like he has to soft pedal what he actually believes. Go back to the 1970s, and he seems to talk a lot about nationalizing all the industries. He wrote that Burlington had a foreign policy. It had its own foreign policy. He said, I saw no magic line separating local, state, national, and international issues. How could issues of war and peace not be a local issue? So yeah, Burlington has its own, according to Bernie Sanders, Burlington, Vermont, had its own foreign policy. Did they have their own military? Like, were they going to, you know, withdraw their section of the military? How is this going to work? Sanders had already visited Nicaragua in 1985 and hailed the revolution led by Daniel Ortega, a communist. Sanders said of Ortega that he was impressed. And then he said, I will be attacked by every editorial writer for being a dumb dope. Because he is. The trip to the Soviet Union was, at that time, Sanders' most significant foreign venture. U.S. relations with the Soviet Union were in the middle of a transformation. Sanders muted his criticism of Reagan. He praised the summit between Gorbachev and Reagan as a major step forward for humanity. We'll talk in a minute more about what else Bernie Sanders did on his trip to the Soviet Union as a 46-year-old man praising the Soviets. Yeah, this what a moral imbecile Bernie Sanders has been throughout his life. My goodness. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, when it comes to improving the look and feel of your home without spending a fortune, a lot of us have ideas, but we don't know where to start. Thanks to SelectBlinds.com, upgrading your home is so easy it's a no-brainer. Score amazing deals on blinds, shades, and shutters today from SelectBlinds.com. Select Blinds will make an instant impact on the way you look at your space. Swap out those tired old window coverings for high-quality, easy-to-install blinds. With products you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows, SelectBlinds.com is the easy way to upgrade. Select Blinds takes the guesswork out of ordering blinds online by offering high-quality blinds for an unbelievable price. After your new blinds are taken care of, get back to the important stuff, like relaxing in that new and improved space. Read more than 300,000 reviews from a million happy customers at SelectBlinds.com. It's easy to see why they've been featured on TLC, HGTV, and Netflix. Select Blinds really is the simple and smart way to get blinds. To get the best deals on blinds, shades, and shutters, shop right now at SelectBlinds.com. Mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu. Select Blinds, simple, smart, custom, SelectBlinds.com. Now is a great time to upgrade the look and feel of your home. The best way to do that, get those blinds replaced. Go to SelectBlinds.com. Make sure to mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu. So here's the thing. Bernie Sanders today still will not condemn the Venezuelan regime. So not much has changed. The timing of Sanders' trip drew a lot of notice. He got married before a crowd of hundreds in Burlington. The next day, he said, we began a quiet, romantic honeymoon. This is in his book, Outsider in the White House. He said, according to Terrell Borishius, who accompanied Sanders, it cost him some political capital when you're self-identified as a socialist and you go to the Soviet Union. We thought pushing peaceful coexistence was important. The trip had its genesis a year earlier when Kelly helped arrange for a Soviet choir of about 30 girls to visit Burlington. After staying with local families and visiting schools, the choir performed for about 500 residents. Sanders asked to take the stage. At one point, Sanders pointed to the choir and said, "This is the enemy?" No, that was not the enemy, which is why they were being hosted in Burlington, Vermont. The enemy was the Soviet government that was repressing and oppressing its own people. The main purpose for the trip to the USSR was to establish Burlington's sister city in the Soviet Union. Initially, Kelly said he proposed that Burlington partner with Countess Lithuania, but Sanders rejected that idea because thousands of Jews had been killed there by the Nazis in 1941. Instead, he chose Yaroslavl, a Russian city of 600,000 on the Volga River that had scenic views, but a depleted industrial core. Sanders and his entourage first visited Moscow, where Sanders walked through Red Square days after Reagan appeared there. Then he saw Lenin's tomb. Then they went to Leningrad, where they visited a cemetery where thousands of Soviets killed during World War II are buried, while Swan Lake played from speakers strung from trees. Then he went to Yaroslavl. During a boat ride on the Volga River, Sanders interviewed the city's mayor for a Burlington radio show, quizzing him on the cost of housing and health care. It turns out that the cost is zero when you have a communist country. The only thing you have to give up is all of your freedom. And also prosperity. So a couple of things, actually. Throughout the trip, local officials took aside members of Sanders' entourage, telling them the Soviet system was near collapse. At one point, officials of an engine factory that employed thousands of people told Howard Seaver, an official with a Burlington business group, that orders from Moscow had fallen, they asked whether he could help arrange business with the United States. Seaver said, I think Sanders saw, and we all saw, the downside of the Soviet system. They may have had low-cost apartments, but things were very out of whack. There were food shortages, no political freedom. I suspect that what Bernie saw in Russia probably affected his views that you see today, where he is not anti-free enterprise or capitalism, but he wants to have a safety net and give a fair shake to all, but certainly not to have a command economy we saw in the Soviet Union. Then why was he so warm about the command economy he saw in the Soviet Union? On one of the last days of the trip, Bernie Sanders and his colleagues gathered around a table lined with vodka bottles. A video of the event shows Sanders bare-chested, listening in delight to Russian folk songs, and then he and the other Americans sing Woody Guthrie's communist ballad, This Land Is Your Land. You have to read all the lyrics to know how commie This Land Is Your Land is. Alan Rubin, an internist who was on the trip, recalled it similarly, saying, I remember the togas, the vodka. I don't remember anyone not drinking vodka. Sanders was jolly and light. I really think we often don't see that. He is genuinely that way. He was delighted, Rubin said. He met people he cared about and cared about him. He got very curious about life in Russia. I think it became part of his life. He was interested in the way they organized healthcare, education, street life, families. It opened up a new world for me, and I expect for him too. And when he came back, he held an hour-long news conference in which he praised Russian policies on housing and healthcare and criticized the cost of both in the United States. He said the fact that we would be willing to be critical of the United States, I think that made them maybe more appreciative of our criticisms we made of our own society. We were saying, yeah, in our country, we also have a housing crisis. Our housing in general is better than yours, but people are paying 40% of their income for housing. The quality of your housing is not good, but we appreciate the fact that people are paying 5%. The quality of your health care is not good, but believe me, in the United States, we have enormous problems. My goodness. Immoral relativism of suggesting that the U.S. healthcare system and housing system is in any way on par with that of the Soviet Union is just insane. It's just wild. So, well done, Bernie Sanders. Well done, Democrats, who have made this guy one of your front runners. In a second, we'll get to more updates from the Democratic Party, which seems to be moving ever closer and edging ever closer toward insanity. But first, running a small business is a lot of work. It takes time and money. You want all the time and money you have to go toward growing your business. But what happens when legal hurdles pop up along the way? Well, that's where LegalZoom is there to help. Nearly 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs, incorporation, and more. Even after your business is set up, LegalZoom can still help you out. Things like lease agreements, changing tax laws, contract reviews, all of these are part of running your own business. These are precisely the kinds of costly hurdles that can take time away from growing your business. That's why LegalZoom created their business legal plan. Get advice for running your business from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in all 50 states. The best part, you won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Make your time and money work for you. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com right now. Get special savings when you enter Shapiro at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal, LegalZoom.com. As a lawyer, I've been using LegalZoom for years, long before they were advertising on this program. Before this program existed, I was using LegalZoom.com because they have great resources. Now they've got that business legal plan at LegalZoom.com. Get those special savings when you enter Shapiro at checkout. All right, coming up, a couple more updates from the Democratic race. Plus, Barack Obama is deeply unhappy with Hillary Clinton. It's kind of delicious. It's kind of hilarious. We'll bring you all of the details momentarily. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Democrats getting more and more radical. Again, Bill de Blasio talking about running for president because he thinks he has some momentum or something. Maybe every politician from New York should run. How about Andrew Cuomo should run, and Kirsten Gillibrand should run, and Bill de Blasio should run, but they all have to give up the seat they hold to run. I am happy with that deal. I will take that deal any day of the week, every day. Okay. Speaking of crazy, Stacey Abrams continues to run around talking about how she won her election. My goodness, it's like it's as though Tom Brady in the Super Bowl with the Giants after they go 16-0 during the regular season and make it to the Super Bowl and then they lose to the Giants. If you were running around saying, listen, guys, I really won. I really did win. No, you did not actually win, as it turns out. Stacey Abrams is still running around saying that she won. Apparently, she gave a defiant speech to Annie's List in Texas, saying she won't be a good sport and go away quietly after an election in which she was wronged. She lost by 55,000 votes, by the way. That is a lot of votes. She said, we don't have to concede elections anymore, because when we concede, we are condoning systems that are used to oppress us. You mean, like, voting? Was that the system that oppressed Stacey Abrams, the one that she lost by 55,000 votes? That would be the system of oppression? So now voting's a system of oppression, so that's exciting stuff. Also, I am old enough to remember, because I am more than 3 years old, when Democrats suggested that failing to accept the results of a duly fought election was bad. Now we have Hillary Clinton claiming that she was actually the president of the United States, and Stacey Abrams declaring that she is actually governor of Georgia, and neither of these things are true. By the way, if Stacey Abrams really believes she is so wildly popular in Georgia, why did she just turn down an opportunity to run for Senate in Georgia? Wouldn't this be a great opportunity for her to prove her mettle? It's pretty amazing. Speaking of Hillary Clinton and her unwillingness to accept reality, so she is still going around talking about Donald Trump and Attorney General Barr. She appeared on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow, where she explained that Donald Trump is bad and William Barr is bad and the Mueller report got it wrong because secretly she's actually the president. She's not a crazy person who wanders around the woods of northern New York.
Trump just foments divisiveness in America. He's helping to tear the country apart. People are so upset. The real story is the Russians interfered in our election and Trump committed obstruction of justice. We have never really understood as much as we need to, and I think the Mueller report didn't go there. That wasn't what they thought their charge was. He is the president's defense lawyer. He is not the attorney general of the United States in the way that he has conducted himself.
Now do Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch met on a tarmac with your husband in the middle of an active investigation and then rewrote the law along with James Comey to prevent your prosecution, Hillary Clinton. It's the fact that she is still out there is amazing to me. The best part of that, though, is that Barack Obama can't stand her. It's one of my favorite things. So there's a new book called Obama, The Call of History, from New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker. Apparently, he thought that her campaign in 2016 was soulless, which seems like a pretty apt description. He said he saw her loss as a personal insult. He said he almost got out of office untouched, but he was shocked by the results of the election. He said he thought there was no way Americans would turn on him. His legacy, he felt, was in safe hands. But then, giant fail, which is just pretty wonderful. That's pretty wonderful. So, you know, everybody gets what they deserve eventually, which is both which is, you know, makes you happy, but also watch out. I mean, if everybody gets what they deserve, we're all in trouble. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to jump into the mailbag. It's a Friday. We haven't had a chance to do that yet, so we're going to answer some of your questions there. That's next. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, but she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank,
consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's a Friday, so it's time to jump into the mailbag and answer some of your questions. We begin with Leah. Leah says, "Hey Ben, a few friends and I are planning a month-long trip for October, and at the end of our trip, we are planning to visit Turkey and Lebanon. I've traveled all over the world with the exception to the Middle East, so when they said they wanted to visit, I said I'd be on board. However, I heard you can't enter Lebanon if you've been traveling to Israel marked on your passport. While I've never been there, I was curious of the reason for this and what your thoughts are on traveling there and Turkey when I'm a strong supporter of Israel. Thanks, and love the show." So I am not sure what the actual rules are in Lebanon. I know that those rules do apply in places like Saudi Arabia. There are certain countries that refuse to acknowledge the existence of the state of Israel. Don't worry, it's not anti-Semitism to fail to acknowledge a Jewish state that exists. It is merely a form of anti-Zionism, not anti-Semitism at all. Those rules obviously are targeted toward Jews. That is the goal of them. Israel does not have similar rules with any country on planet Earth. It's pretty amazing that all of that is tolerated, but it's soft bigotry of low expectations when it comes to radical Muslim leadership in that part of the world. Kyle says, "What is your arguments, people, that say the economy will crash after Trump because of his Reaganomics-type policies, tax cuts, trade regulations, etc.? Is this a possibility in your mind?" Well, number one, there are very few economists who have been consistent in being able to predict economic crashes. This is just a reality of the situation. I think people suspect there will be one in the sometime near future, simply because every 8 to 10 years in the United States, there is some sort of economic downturn. The last one was in 2008. It's now 2019. So that means that we're probably due. But that's more of like the earthquakes are coming feeling that you get sitting on the porch, right? That is not based on any economic criteria. I have no idea why you would say that Reaganomics-type policies create recessions when Reaganomics-type policies created the greatest peacetime expansion in the history of the United States, the greatest peacetime economic expansion in the history of the United States. Even short-term downturns like Black Monday back in October of, what was it, 1987, even that was quickly rectified and the economy kept on growing. Even the short-term downturn in 1991 was reversed by the end of 1991. By the time 1992 election came about, the economy was already moving forward again. So the idea that Reaganomics-type policies is what quashes economic growth. Now, what quashes economic growth, downturns are unpredictable. Economic growth, however, is predictably tied to a business climate that is friendly toward business as opposed to a heavy regulatory and tax-based climate that tends to quash growth. So we found out from Barack Obama. Keith says, "Dear Ben, I'd like to be a better influence in defending and spreading conservative ideas. How can an average conservative such as myself help change hearts and minds in my daily life?" Well, a couple of things. Number one, you have to read and read and read. You really do need to know the issues about which you speak. Second of all, seek commonality and common definition before you start a conversation. The way to have a bad political conversation is for somebody to say something like, "You're mean, you're cruel," and then you say, "No, I'm not mean and cruel." That's not a conversation, that's an argument. What you have to do is say, "I need you to define meanness and cruelty so that we can have a definition of what exactly we are talking about, because I don't believe your definition. If your definition is you just don't like me, well, you know, then we can't have a conversation. If we want to have a conversation, we have to get to commonality of terms." It's funny. I have conversations with folks all the time on a variety of issues, particularly on the other side of the aisle. And to use an example, I did an interview with, I believe it was Salon, I think. And the reporter over at Salon was extremely antagonistic. The entire interview was basically this person trying to make an argument over, it was not an interview, it was an argument. And you can read the transcript of it. They wouldn't release the audio because it made the reporter look pretty bad. That is my opinion. We asked for the release of the audio. They would not do it. And then I had a similar conversation about my book with Sean Illing at Vox, who happens to be an honest reporter, who's read my book and who disagrees with my book. But because we were having a conversation that was productive, he would ask my opinion on something. I would ask him for a clarification of definition. I would respond. He would ask for a clarification of my definitions. He would respond. This is what is called a nice conversation. You can do that. Specifics help conversations move forward. This is true in marriage. It's true in child rearing. It's true in parenting. It's true in all areas of life. Specificity and clarity is what you should be seeking in conversation if you wish to have a conversation. Broad-based terminology about which there is no common understanding, that's how you have an argument. Sarah says, Ben, what books do you recommend to learn more about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Well, there's a great book that I've recommended on the show by David Bragg called Reclaiming Israel's History. It's very short. It's about 200 pages. And that gives you a pretty good background on what you need to know. There's also a book by Eli Bard called Myths and Facts that I always recommend, mainly because it's bite-sized. It has a myth, and then it will have the fact, and that's like a page long, and it answers most of your questions about it. I'd start with those two books. And then if you want sort of longer form histories, there's a book by Howard Sacker about it called The History of Zionism that is worth reading. Benjamin Netanyahu actually wrote a great book called A Durable Peace back in the 1990s that talks about kind of the long-term history of Israel and the Palestinians, and more than Israel and the Palestinians, Israel and the Arab world around it, because the Palestinians as a cohesive entity really did not exist as a cohesive entity until the creation of the State of Israel. All the Palestinian actually referred to Jew, right? The Palestine Post was referring to the Jerusalem Post, was referring to Jews. Palestinians as a specific political entity were not created really until 1948, and everybody was considered Syrian. Not to say that they weren't indigenous to the area. There were Palestinians indigenous to the area, but they considered themselves Syrian or Egyptian or Jordanian or Saudi. So it is worth reading all of those books. I can give you more if you're interested. Anthony says, hey, Ben, is there ever an argument from a conservative side for any implementation of a Keynesian-style economic policy? Also, do you believe we are in a late-stage capitalist system currently? The phrase late-stage capitalist is very irritating because there is either capitalist or there is non-capitalist. The idea that capitalism is moving toward an end game where it falls apart, that is a Marxist construct that I just don't believe. Marxism suggests that eventually history will end with the seizure of the means of production by the workers. And that has not happened historically. Instead, what has happened historically is a forcible seizure of the means of production by government, and then the collapse of that system repeatedly because that system sucks and is terrible for human beings. So I don't really believe in the phrase late-stage capitalist. I believe in economic, that there is such a thing as top-down economic fascism or corporatism. Right? That exists, but I don't think that's capitalism. I think people tend to conflate a lot of this terminology. As far as the argument for implementation of a Keynesian-style economic policy, which I assume would mean seizure of money from people who are more wealthy, giving it to people who are poorer so that they can start spending that money, that spending is better than saving. No, I disagree with Keynesianism. There's a great book by the author of Economics in One Lesson, Henry Hazlitt. It's about a 450-page book that really breaks down Keynes's work at length. It's very detailed. So if you're interested in that, that's available. Richard says, hello, Mr. Shapiro. I've heard several times you say that Congress has subpoena power. Where does it say that in the Constitution? Is it a part of the necessary and proper powers? Well, Congress can pass legislation that allows them to subpoena. Then the other branches have the power to resist a subpoena, and then the judiciary gets to decide whether the subpoena in fact holds. So they have to pass a piece of legislation. You're correct. There's nothing in the Constitution of the United States that specifically refers to subpoena power, but there's no doubt that Congress does have investigative powers under the Constitution. That's how they keep the other branches in check. More on that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about that timeshare that you bought. I know, you went to Hawaii, and you were thinking, I'm going to get that cheap luau. Yeah, you go to the timeshare presentation. And then some nifty guy comes in, tells you all about how vacation's going to be awesome from now on. After all, you can come to Hawaii every single year. It's going to be great. And are you ready to invest in vacation? Because long term, it's for your family. You're like, okay, sounds good, kind of, don't really understand it, but sure. And then you buy it, and then they ring a bell, and they give you like a flower lay. Woo! Only one problem. You are now on the hook for a week interval for an average cost of $20,000 with an interest rate of up to 17.9% plus a $1,000 a year maintenance fee. And then when you're tired of it, you're stuck. You can find hundreds of these things listed for a buck right now with no buyers. Friends, this stuff is nonsense. That's why my friend Brandon Reed and Timeshare Exit Team are fighting back by launching the Coalition to Reform Timeshare. If you have a timeshare horror story, post it online, tag it hashtag Reform Timeshare. People do need to know the truth about timeshares. If you just need out, you know what to do. Contact my friends at Timeshare Exit Team. They've helped over 16,000 people exit from timeshares. Check them out at timeshareexitteam.com. That is, again, timeshareexitteam.com. Go check it out. Michael says, Ben, do you think there's any Republican who, if they were to run, could beat Donald Trump in the primary. Maybe Jim Mattis, Mitt Romney, or Ben Shapiro. No. The answer is no. I think Donald Trump would win every primary. He's the incumbent president of the United States. There has yet to be an incumbent president of the United States who loses in the primaries. Even LBJ did not lose in the primaries. He just came close to losing in the in a couple early primaries and decided not to run. So that is not the same thing. The strongest primary contenders have never taken out an incumbent president. It's never happened. Okay, let's see. Jackson says, hey, Ben, totally agree with your assessment of Endgame. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Being a huge Marvel fan, I still enjoyed it. Totally fair. I said if you're a Marvel fan and you're really into it and you like the, I guess it was 21 movies leading up to Avengers Endgame and you're looking for the Easter eggs and it's all nostalgia for you and fan service, totally fine with that. I personally thought it was bloated. I thought that what they did with the main characters didn't make any sense. I had a lot of critiques of Endgame. I wanted to enjoy it the same as everybody else. The thing's going to make a bajillion dollars. I mean, it's already racked up. I think by the end of first weekend, it had racked up almost $1.5 billion worldwide. I wish I could enjoy it like everybody else. I just have critiques. Jackson says, I was wondering how you would have constructed the final battle. Personally, I would have just had Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America fight Thanos and his generals. Yes, this is correct. The battle at the very end of Avengers Endgame should not have taken place, meaning that it is obvious that Thanos is facing off against them. And so, as I mentioned in my review of Avengers Endgame yesterday on my show, on the podcast, the biggest problem with Avengers Endgame, one of the big problems, my business partner Jeremy Boring pointed this out, is that the relative powers of the various characters make no sense. So in the first Avengers Infinity War, Thanos is barely able to hold off just Thor, and he's got the Infinity Gauntlet while he's doing that. And the Infinity Gauntlet is super duper powerful. Well, at the end of Avengers Endgame, spoilers here, okay guys, you're all warned. At the end of Avengers Endgame, Thanos does not have the gauntlet. He's just a big guy. And he's a big guy, and he's holding off simultaneously Thor and Captain America and Iron Man. He's holding all of them off. And Captain America has Thor's hammer. Right? I mean, he's got all these things. Right? And still Thanos is holding them off without the Infinity Gauntlet? How? So you'd have to construct the final battle scene better. Also, there's something inherently a little bit unfair about a 3-on-1. So the only way to make that fair is if he does have the Infinity Gauntlet, for example. Also, having Captain Marvel come in and she's able to basically take on Thanos alone, like none of these relative power arrangements make any sense. Why is she so much more powerful than Thor, the god of thunder? Why? Like none of this. Again, the internal logic doesn't make a lot of sense. I think there was a way to construct it where it makes sense. Where, for example, Tony Stark is wounded. That would make sense. Or Captain America is finally feeling his age. This would make sense. Or you have Thor, who is so broken that he can't fight properly. That would make sense. There are ways to construct this, but I just don't think it was done. It turned into kind of the same big beat-em-up, smash-em-up battle you have at the end of every one of these Marvel movies. William says, hey, Ben, you've said many times on your show you're a huge sports fan. I'm curious what your favorite teams are from the major sports, NBA, NFL, and MLB. So, number one, NHL should be included in the major sports. Number two, I don't know, I just didn't grow up with hockey. I wish I had, because every time I go to a hockey game, it's awesome. So I am a Blackhawks fan, you know, sort of peripherally, but NBA, NFL, and MLB. NBA, I'm a Celtics fan. I know, I live in Los Angeles, it makes no sense. I'm a Celtics fan because I picked up all of my father's sports allegiances, because, like religion, fandom for sports teams is picked up from your parents. This is why my kids will be White Sox fans, even though they are two generations removed from Chicago. So the NBA, I'm a Celtics fan because my parents went to school in Boston, and the Chicago Bulls really were not a thing when my dad was growing up. So he was a Celtics fan. He was partially a Celtics fan because Red Auerbach was the owner/general manager of the Boston Celtics and was an early integrator of the NBA, for example, was Jewish, etc. The NFL, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so I picked up all the Chicago allegiances. I know, it's a terrible fate to be a Chicago Bears fan. And Mitch Trubisky, yeah. Okay, and MLB, I am a huge Chicago White Sox fan. If you wish to hear my thoughts about the Chicago White Sox, all you have to do is go to Amazon.com. My father and I wrote a full book about the 2005 Chicago White Sox championship season. We traced every single game of the season. And it's a series of letters from me to my dad and back and forth. It's really a lot of fun. It's called Say It So. You can go check that out at Amazon.com. Yeah, Aviel says, hey, Ben, question. How would you respond to the argument regarding abortion that in a life and death situation, the life of the mother takes precedence over the unborn baby? Admitting to a certain extent that the two lives are not the equal at that point, unborn versus born, while I myself have a bunch of issues with what is extrapolated from this point, I'm having a hard time discrediting the logic. Well, the logic makes sense that you prefer the life of the mother so long as the baby is not born yet, because there is a difference between unborn and born with regard to choice of life. But that does not mean that in a vacuum you can just kill the unborn. Like, this is what people seem to get wrong. You don't actually have to make the argument that an embryo is of the exact same value. You don't actually have, you can make the argument, you don't have to make the argument that an embryo is of the exact same value as a 30-year-old person in order to make the argument that an embryo must be preserved. You don't have to make that argument because it is not a choice. Okay, the choice is between your inconvenience and the embryo, or your wishes and the embryo's existence. And that is not the same choice. So you first, what people do is they create the false choice between the existence of an adult life and an unborn life. And then the next thing that they do is they say that all cases are that choice, which they are not. So it's just bad logic. I don't think you have to accept you don't even have to accept the premise that all life is innately of equal value to, especially, you know, in early stages of pregnancy. You don't have to accept. You can accept it. Again, you can say an embryo is exactly the same as a fully grown human being, but you don't have to in order to make the argument for the preservation of the embryo. That's historically been the Jewish argument, for example. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there is an article today from DailyWire.com. Joseph Kroll writing, a high school in Northern California, George Washington High School, to be specific, is now mulling over a push to remove two 83-year-old murals from its hallways. Critics advocating for their removal say they are offensive to Native Americans and African Americans. They say that a pair of panels traumatizes students and community members. So a couple of things. First, if a mural traumatizes you, you may have other problems, unless it actually has like a swastika on it, or a picture of a person being enslaved or something, or a rape, then, like, what exactly is so terrible about all this? Well, the San Francisco Unified School District Working Group says the murals should be removed and put in storage to protect the students. To protect the students. What is this, the ring? People are going to crawl out of the murals? San Francisco Unified School District convened a reflection and action working group that was comprised of members of the local Native American community, students, school representatives, district representatives, local artists, and historians, said Laura Zudnick, a spokeswoman for the district. At its conclusion, the group voted. The majority recommended that the Life of Washington mural be archived and removed because the mural does not represent SFUSD values. Two of the 13 panels in the mural series have come under fire since the 1960s. In one mural, entitled Mount Vernon, George Washington appears to be in conversation with another Caucasian man who gestures toward a seated African-American man holding corn, presumably a slave. In other parts of the mural, African-Americans are engaged in acts of manual labor, like hauling large bales of hay and picking cotton in the fields, while Caucasian men are also laboring at other tasks with tools. Washington's servant, who is pictured holding his horse, is also African-American. The mural is a clear depiction of slavery in the United States and of George Washington as a slave owner. Okay, why is that mural bad? Like, wouldn't that be a good jumping-off point for the discussion? When I say that if the mural glorified slavery, that would be one thing. Like, yay, slavery. That doesn't seem like what this is. A second panel, entitled Westward Vision, depicts Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers looking at George Washington as he points off in the distance, while he points his other hand to a map. On the right side of the mural, as if carrying out Washington's call for westward expansion, frontiersmen depicted in grayscale, unlike other figures on the mural, stand over the dead body of a Native American man, signifying the genocide of Native American life and culture. In the bottom right of the Westward Vision panel, a frontiersman and Native American chief sit at a campfire smoking a peace pipe on the ground at the chief's feet as a tomahawk, symbolizing the disarming of Native tribes. Directly above the chief's headdress is a broken limb that represents broken treaties made by the U.S. government with Native Americans and broken promises made by settlers. That's because these murals were designed to paint America in a not great light. Why? They were painted in 1936 by an artist named Viktor Artinov. He was a communist. According to the Wall Street Journal, he included those images not to glorify Washington, but rather to provoke a nuanced evaluation of his legacy. The scene with the dead Native American, for instance, calls attention to the price of manifest destiny. So the paintings that were meant to critique America's history are now being removed because the critique is offensive to the people who are victimized in the paintings. We may be getting a little too sensitive. Basically, it is a Howard Zinn view of history, and that's too offensive because a Howard Zinn view of history, even that, may offend people or something. My goodness, you know, it's pretty amazing the length to which we will go to find a sense of victimhood in today's society. And the reason I say this is that we here at Daily Wire, we have a Sunday special. If you subscribe over at Daily Wire, you can see our Sunday specials. I interview somebody every week. Well, we are preparing a Sunday special for next month, for D-Day, in which I sit down with a bunch of veterans of Normandy. And one of the guys who I talked to yesterday is a 93-year-old man who was a Navy corpsman at Normandy, and which meant that his job, he was a medic, his job was to go onto the beaches and take care of all the people who were dying. And he was crying as he told these stories of going on beaches and 18-year-old kids crying out for their mothers with their body parts blown off. And then this guy heads back to the hospital in Great Britain, where he is taking care of the wounded being shipped back from the field. And his job is to ensure that after they die, that their bodies are properly preserved so that they are not leaking fluid. And then this guy, who's 18, was then shipped to Okinawa because there was a shortage of medics in Okinawa. How bad were things in Okinawa? They were so bad that medics didn't even wear the Red Cross on their helmets because Japanese soldiers were shooting medics first. While he was in Okinawa, this fellow witnessed a kamikaze attack on the USS New Mexico, in which a kamikaze suicide bomber, effectively, flew his Zero through the communications headquarters of the USS New Mexico. This guy suffered from PTSD for some 66 years. It seems to me that if you're going to be traumatized...
Hi, this is Margie. I'm the owner of Margie Wenham Insurance Services. I've been a licensed independent insurance agent for the last 28 years. My specialty is making sense of the Medicare maze. You can always reach me online at insuredbymargy.com, Margy, M-A-R-G-Y. My services are always no pressure, no obligation, and no cost. I look forward to helping you through the Medicare maze.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. North Korea has launched several short-range missiles. South Korean and U.S. authorities are analyzing the data on the missiles and trying to discern what message Kim Jong-un may be intending by this latest saber-rattling.
Kim's launch comes hours after Presidents Trump and Putin spoke by phone, as President Trump told reporters in the Oval Office Friday afternoon.
We talked about North Korea at great length.
It was just last week when Kim met with Putin in Vladivostok. There, he publicly criticized the U.S. for what he termed bad faith during the failed summit with Mr. Trump last February in Hanoi. As with the recent April 17th so-called tactical missile launch, this latest spate may reflect Kim using a projection of force to indicate displeasure with ongoing international economic sanctions intended to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. George Bonzani reporting.
Top members of President Trump's national security team have met to talk about potential next steps in Venezuela.
In the secure Pentagon meeting room known as the Tank, Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan hosted Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton, among others, including the top U.S. commander in South America. Shanahan would not tell reporters any options for military action under consideration in Venezuela and gave no indication the U.S. is moving toward taking any, but also did not rule it out. Neither did Trump spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
The president's going to do what is required if necessary.
And says all options remain on the table. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Officials say that a charter plane traveling from Cuba to North Florida ended up in a river at the end of a runway. Naval Air Station Jacksonville news release says a Boeing 737 arriving at Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, crashed into the St. John's River Friday night. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
Senator John Cornyn has proposed a bill to close a loophole that he says has led to human trafficking at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Cornyn says we need to address the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border.
We need to do it soon.
He says human smugglers know they can place illegals in the U.S.
97% of the time, as long as you are a unaccompanied minor or come with a family.
Because of a 1997 agreement meant for unaccompanied children, but expanded by the courts in 2016.
Applying the settlement not just to unaccompanied children, but also to families.
Changing the Flores agreement to what Cornyn now calls a major pull factor for illegals. Bob Agner reporting.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk is more than doubling the stock that he will buy in new public offering in an apparent bid to ease investors' confidence as he tries to turn around his struggling electric car company. He raised his latest investment from $10 million to $25 million on Friday. News and analysis at townhall.com. American Airlines is expanding. Here's correspondent John Scott with the details.
The airlines is opening 15 new gates at Dallas-Fort Worth International, its most profitable airport. American says the gates that open Friday in Terminal E will let it add more than 100 daily flights on its American Eagle affiliate. By early June, Fort Worth-based American plans to operate more than 900 daily flights from DFW. That's up from 800 last summer. It's adding 23 new destinations and increasing flights to existing ones. John Scott reporting.
Several tornadoes were reported across south-central Texas, leaving damage in their wake, but no reports of injuries as severe thunderstorms rumbled across the region. The National Weather Service says two tornadoes were reported about 9 a.m. Friday in the LaGrange area, about 100 miles west of Houston. Severe thunderstorms continued to rage throughout the day in western and south-central Texas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later in the hour, we will be talking about the good economic news. Great economic news today, actually. Unemployment dropping to its lowest rate since 1969, which is pretty impressive stuff. We will also get to the controversy over William Barr, the Attorney General, and President Trump continuing to maintain that the intelligence community spied on him. So a lot coming up a little bit later on in the hour. First, we need to talk about the situation with Facebook. So Facebook has now moved to bar Alex Jones, Louis Farrakhan, and others. This would be Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, and a few other people from using its services. Now, the media wrongly labeled all of these people far right. Louis Farrakhan is not far right. And the media routinely mislabel people far right. That's because they actually think that everything that is not of the hard left is now far right, is sort of the take of the media. In any case, Facebook did not articulate an actual standard for why these people were banned. Now, I don't like the vast majority of what these people say. Some of these people have targeted me personally in pretty vile ways. Louis Farrakhan, I think, is one of the worst people in America. The Facebook spokeswoman said in a statement, quote, "We've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology." That seems pretty vague to me. Well, joining us on the line is Eric Weinstein. He's managing director of Thiel Capital. He's also a research fellow at the Mathematical Institute of Oxford University. He speaks and publishes on a variety of topics, including he's an internet guru, obviously, as managing director of Thiel Capital. Eric, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show. Good to talk to you.
Good to be with you, Ben.
So what is your initial take on Facebook's articulated standard for barring people ranging from Alex Jones to Louis Farrakhan here?
Well, I think it's actually quite exciting because the way I see it is they've articulated a quite clear standard. They're against violence and hate regardless of ideology. And what I think is super exciting is getting to watch them explore the consequences of the position to which they have wedded themselves now.
Well, one of the things that I find amazing, Eric, is that one of the rumors that is going around, and the New York Times reported this as sort of fact, is that Alex Jones was banned basically for hosting an InfoWars show featuring Gavin McGinnis. And Milo Yiannopoulos had signaled praise for Gavin McGinnis earlier this year. So basically the rule is that if you ever praised or said something nice about Gavin McGinnis at any time in the past or interviewed Gavin McGinnis, you are banned. I'm play for you a clip of Snoop Dogg today. Today, after the ban on Louis Farrakhan, here's Snoop Dogg, what he had to say about Louis Farrakhan.
What up? If you down with it, like I'm down with it,
Post your favorite Minister Farrakhan video on your Instagram and Facebook page. Show some love to a real brother. Post it right now. He got footage everywhere. If you ain't got none, snatch it off of YouTube. It's everywhere. Put up some Minister Louis Farrakhan footage. Show some love. Show what he really be talking about. Educating. Truth. Can't ban all of us.
Okay, so that's not just Snoop Dogg suggesting that free speech necessitates the dissemination of material that Facebook doesn't want disseminated. That's him openly praising Louis Farrakhan as a brother and a man of truth. So, Eric, I assume that by Facebook standards, this means that Snoop Dogg now has to be banned from Facebook.
Well, it's not just a question of Snoop Dogg. I mean, let's be honest. Google will sell me Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. Miles Davis certainly talked about, I think if he was given an hour left to live, thinking of strangling a white person. Most importantly, I think Facebook has no idea that the Mahatma actually praised violence as second only to nonviolence and advised against it over cowardice. And in fact, he inspired Nelson Mandela. I have a quote where he says, Gandhi himself never ruled out violence absolutely and unreservedly. He conceded the necessity of arms in certain situations. He said, where choice is set between cowardice and violence, I would advise violence. I prefer to use arms in defense of honor rather than remain the vile witness to dishonor. And Mandela further went on and said, we felt that without violence, there would be no way to open the African people to succeed in their struggle against the principle of white supremacy. I don't think Facebook has any idea of what they've just done. What you have is sort of a childlike notion of violence and hate, but it's not even a notion that would have been allowed to exist in a household of intelligent religious children, where if you read Ecclesiastes or even listen to the bird song, Turn, 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 there is certainly a time to love and a time to hate, a time for killing. None of this makes any sense. And I think that what's going on is that we're seeing these companies come out with non-policies and attempt to tell us selectively who will be allowed to stay, who will be allowed to go. I found that when Tim Cook gave his inspiring speech saying that hatred and bigotry had no place on their platform, I went immediately to Apple's music store, and I was able to find the Rolling Stones song Some Girls, which, pardon my French, I'll substitute the English word for the Yiddish, said that black girls just want to get shtupped all night. That was allowed to remain. So now what we're talking about is companies and platforms selectively removing the violence that they don't like, the hate that they don't like, the alleged hate, the alleged conspiracies, while promoting others. Now, I don't like any of the people I think that they're getting rid of particularly, but I'm willing to stand up for them, not as Snoop Dogg saying that these are great Americans, but saying that the rights that we are now losing to discuss these things in public, or at least we're going to have discussions on these platforms that are portrayed as if they are honest and open discussions that are now going to show the heavy hand of the finger of the tech utopians who are profiteering from all of this. All of these platforms spread hate. They all spread violence. There are times for hate. There are times for violence. They've now articulated a standard that they cannot possibly live up to. And what's going to be fascinating is watching them fail and selectively enforce these terms of service, which are no rule of all. When you have to ask constantly what the interpretation of the rule is, there is no rule.
Yeah, I mean, and it's obvious that they have no rule. And for those of us who live in this sphere all the time, yeah, there is a pretty stark division. At the very least, you could say that there is stuff that is actually not protected by the First Amendment. So, for example, actual incitement to violence. So there is a prosecution going on right now of a person who sent death threats to me. They are actual death threats, like full-on death threats. They were sent also to Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr. and a variety of other figures. And that is an actual incitement to violence. I mean, that's an actual call to violence and a threat of violence. That's not protected by the First Amendment. But we're talking about First Amendment activity. So, Eric, when you look at what's happening in Silicon Valley, do you think that this is happening because of government pressure from outside and then Silicon Valley responding to that? Or do you think that this is an internal pressure for do-gooderism from the inside of Silicon Valley and then an echo chamber that just sort of reinforces all of that?
I think this is a great question. It's multiple sources. For one thing, I think that some of the tech platforms, you might ask the question about whether senior management is actually the captive of their workforces. and the workforces perhaps are feeling that they need to be paid in some sort of psychic payment of human sanctimony. So there's that aspect of the story going on. I think that there's unquestionably an idea that the institutional world, rocked by Trump and by Brexit, is in a situation in which they never want to repeat being surprised by what they now call populism. But populism is simply a negative Russell conjugation of the concept of democracy. They have lost the trust of the right, the left. The institutions are clearly seen to be manipulating us in a way that is not compatible with our increased view coming from a technological world. So I think that there may be something coming from inside the institutional world. There may be something coming from the intelligence community. There's certainly something coming from the engineers who are discovering how much power they have over their employers. And we are shaping up to a 2020 election in which all of these players have been preparing since the time that Trump got elected to try to figure out how to put the genie back in the bottle. And I think that what they've now staked out is selective enforcement is going to be the grounds upon which this is going to rest. They're going after very unpopular people first, and there's no question that they're going to keep trying to test the line to see whether the Ben Shapiro's on the extreme right as they see it, or the Eric Weinstein's on the left as they see it, you know, could be corralled and potentially deplatformed as well. I think we're all at risk, and I think if we don't realize that you don't have to love Alex Jones to want to stand up for a principle, here you and I are probably standing up for the need to hear what Minister Farrakhan has to say, even though neither of us like it at all.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think Farrakhan is a terrible person. I think Alex Jones is a terrible person, but I don't think that any of that, certainly their views are terrible, but I don't think that any of that has to do with their right to express. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, Eric, is that you look at the media coverage of this, and it was pretty amazing. Virtually every major outlet, when they first reported Facebook's move, called every one of these figures, quote unquote, far right, including Louis Farrakhan, who has been photographed with every major politician in the Democratic Party for like the last 25 years. And suddenly he's a far right character. And this, I think, speaks to the media's willingness to allow censorship so long as they can characterize everything they disagree with as outside the Overton window. And this is how, you know, you are the coiner of the phrase intellectual dark web. The intellectual dark web is politically diverse. I believe, so far as I'm aware, that I'm the only registered Republican who's a member of the intellectual dark web. And yet the intellectual dark web is now being characterized as a far right thought organization where all of us secretly, even though I'm the only registered Republican and the only actual conservative in the group, everybody is being now corralled, as you say, into the mode of extremism, specifically so that the views can be cast out by these social media groups. This is really what frightens me, and the fact the media are going along with it speaks to their bias.
Well, you know, this is the funny thing. If you think about the publication Mother Jones, some of our friends in the woke shock troops of the left have no notion of history. They believe it began with MySpace. And if you think about Mother Jones as a publication, it was named after Mother Jones, the labor organizer. One of her quotes is that the miners lost because they had only the Constitution. The other side had bayonets, and in the end, bayonets always win. This was an incredibly tough woman who, in fact, rallied these very violent miners, even though she would sometimes admonish them not to fight physically, to overthrow a sort of mini slave era that happened in Appalachia, where people like the Dirty 11 picked up arms to fight the private detective armies hired by the coal barons. And we have an idea that she would be extreme right, I believe, in the modern era, because she was willing to deal with men who would choose violence over slavery. And I think that what's just absolutely bizarre about this is that everything that they don't like in the commentariat is always labeled far right, alt right, and the words now have no meaning to them. It's just an epithet, meaning it's entirely allowable to silence you. So I think that if we actually acquainted ourselves with the use of the Second Amendment in history, where only the left, I believe, has really used it to throw off right wing tyranny in the American labor wars, There is no recognition, no understanding of the fact that we were a revolutionary country, that we value liberty hugely, that you have to engage in conspiracy theorizing if you have the, if you want to have the tools to unearth a conspiracy, as we did, let's say, with COINTELPRO, which the FBI used against the American left and right, unethically. We have a world in which we have simply forgotten that these are not exotic rights. These are rights that matter. And if we give them up and we have the right to speak our minds and to investigate conspiracy silence as if everyone is insane, we are going to find that the conspiracies we fear will be very easy to push. And I think it's important that we allow conspiracy theorizing. We realize that hate has a place in our world. Violence has a place in our world. And what we need to figure out is how to downregulate the bad and negative forms of these. But we have to retain enough vitality to remain a free people.
Well, the guest is Eric Weinstein, Managing Director of Thiel Capital. Eric, thanks so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. And, of course, as always, it's good to talk to somebody who disagrees with me politically, but we all agree on this. Free speech matters, particularly in an era when people seem to want to discard it in favor of political niceties that, that benefit them alone. Eric, thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being the loyal opposition, Ben. Be well.
Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about the economic upturn, President Trump's economy doing quite well, or America's economy, if you don't want to attribute it to President Trump. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, communication in a marriage is key, but if we're honest, some things are tough to discuss with the spouse or with anybody for that matter. One of those things is sex. Even though 52% of dudes over the age of 40 and 26% under 40 experience erectile dysfunction, studies show that 70% of men who experience ED actually don't get treated for it. That's where our friends at Roman come in. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman, it's a one-stop shop where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED and, if safe and appropriate, ship medication directly to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit, chat with the doctor. If the doctor decides it would be safe and appropriate, they will ship genuine medication directly to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online, get checked by the doctor. ED is a problem that too many guys experience but then don't address. With Roman, it's simple to tackle, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free online visit. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Go check it out right now. All right, coming up, great economic news coming out this week. Economic growth is up. Wages are up. What does this say about the state of our economy? We'll talk about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention! If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call Civic Tax Relief for free tax relief information. You may qualify for new relief programs to have your past due taxes forgiven. So see what new programs you qualify for. Time is limited. This information is free. The consultation is free. Call now. 800-938-6077.
800-938-6077.
That's 800-938-6077.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, good news for the United States economy, bad news for Democrats if you are into the politics of it. According to the Associated Press, U.S. employers added a robust 263,000 jobs in April, suggesting that businesses have shrugged off earlier concerns the economy might slow this year. They now anticipate strong customer demand. The unemployment rate fell to a five-decade low of 3.6% from 3.8%. This is the lowest unemployment rate in the United States since 1969. That drop reflected a rise in the number of people who stopped looking for work. Average hourly pay rose 3.2% from 12 months earlier, which is a healthy increase that matches the increase in March. So wages are going up. You know what else is happening? Number of hours worked is going down. So this is not more people making more money for working more hours. This is more people making more money for working fewer hours. Friday's jobs report from the Labor Department showed that solid economic growth is still encouraging strong hiring nearly a decade into the economy's recovery from the Great Recession, according to the AP. Obviously, that economic growth has accelerated under President Trump. It was quite slow under Barack Obama. It was slow but steady under Obama. It has accelerated under Trump. The economic expansion is set to become the longest in history come July. Richard Moody, chief economist at Regions Financial Corp, he says, The broader economy remains on solid footing, meaning that coming months will see continued job gains and faster wage growth. The Trump administration, I think correctly, points out that the job market's gains are a result of the president's tax cuts, which went to some 80% of Americans, as well as deregulatory policies. So much of being in business, as a person who runs a business, so much of being in business has to do with a belief that there is a predictability to the business cycle and that there's a predictability to the business climate, meaning that tomorrow, the state isn't going to come in and shut down my business. The state isn't going to come in and take half my profit. That we're not on the verge of recession. In other words, having a general feeling does matter. A general feeling that the government is not going to quash your gains. President Trump has pressed the Federal Reserve to cut short-term interest rates because inflation remains low. It's a looser monetary policy. Most economists say the healthy jobs picture against the backdrop of low inflation would reinforce the Fed's current wait-and-see approach. As I say, I don't like the Fed manipulating the interest rates. I think that we should have a constant federal interest rate. I don't think it should be manipulated up or down as a general rule. Stock investors welcomed Friday's jobs data. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 135 points, or 0.5%, in midday trading. At the beginning of the year, there was a lot of fear that there was going to be a severe economic downturn. That obviously is waning. And that job surge is striking across the board. Non-farm payroll growth easily beat Wall Street expectations of 190,000 and a 3.8% jobless rate. And non-farm payroll growth was 263,000 new hires. And they revised up previous months as well. The monthly gain in terms of wages was 0.2%. The average wage in the United States is now $27.77 per hour. So when you hear people talking about a $15 minimum wage, understand, virtually no one in the United States is actually working at a $15 minimum wage. Certainly very few people are working at the federal minimum wage, which is a lot lower than $15 right now. The average work week, as I mentioned, also dropped to 34.4 hours. So despite all of the talk about everybody working two jobs in 70 hours, that is not, in fact, the case. The unemployment rate for certain groups fell more sharply than for others. Among Asians, the unemployment rate is now 2.2%. So obviously, this is an element of white privilege. The Asian unemployment rate is at a shockingly low 2.2%. A broader unemployment gauge that includes people who have quit looking for jobs as well as the underemployed held at 7.3%. That's where it has been since February. That's the unemployment rate that is very often used as more accurate. It was used very often during the Obama administration, except at that point, that unemployment rate was usually about 10%. The total level of unemployed people is about 5.8 million people out of a country of 330 million. Health care rose by 27,000 jobs. Professional and business services led job creation with 76,000 additional jobs. The only areas that saw a loss were retail. Retail saw a loss of about 12,000 jobs, that's because of online shopping, largely. All right, coming up, we will be joined in just a second by Jason Johnson. He'll be joining us. He's an advisor to Ted Cruz in the past. He'll be joining us to talk some politics. Plus, I want to give you the update on William Barr and the attacks on him. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's a stacked Democratic field in 2020. By stacked, I mean like it's a clown car. There's no more room for other humans. And yet you still see people like Bill de Blasio trying to force his way into the clown car. It's amazing. 21 different candidates. That's as many movies as are in the Marvel canon. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Joining us on the line to discuss all of this, the 2020 race, and Beto O'Rourke, Jason Johnson. He's a Republican political strategist. He was the founder of J2 Strategies. He's the chief strategist for Ted Cruz's 2016 presidential campaign, and he was also influential in helping Senator Cruz win the past two elections for U.S. Senate. He's also worked with Greg Abbott, the current governor of Texas. Jason, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Glad to be here.
So, Jason, when you look at the Democratic field, who do you think is most dangerous to President Trump? Obviously, there are a lot of folks in that field. There are some polls that are out. One of them shows Beto O'Rourke as the most dangerous to President Trump today. How do you evaluate this race?
Yeah, you take that poll to show Beto is the most dangerous to Trump. If you dig down a little bit, which I did, I think the overall poll had a sample size of 1,500, but that segment was a sample of about 450, so not the most reliable of polls. I mean, as you know, the conventional wisdom seems to be that Crazy Uncle Joe might be the most dangerous just because he's not as crazy as the other 21 or so candidates in the race. But look, he hadn't faced, we'll have to see how he holds up to the hammer and sickle that the Bernistas are going to take to him through the primary. It's going to be a crazy show for sure.
I mean, how do you think that shapes up? So I've been saying for a while that I think that Joe Biden's best showing is going to be his first day. I think that it's probably downhill from there. The hatchet's come out. He's been ripped up and down for treating Republicans too well. This is now, it actually is his chief appeal in a general election, is that he doesn't appear to be a nasty jerk. Sometimes, I mean, I think he can be politically, but he's generally perceived as a nice guy. And yet that may be what stops him in the primaries. For example, today, when you listen to this clip, Jason, there's a clip of former Vice President Biden talking about former Vice President Cheney and talking about how he likes Cheney and thinks he's a nice guy. And then Walter Mondale steps in and rocks him.
First of all, I actually like Dick Cheney for real. I get on with him. I think he's a decent man. Cheney had a very different view of the vice presidency in terms of how it functioned internally. But he was extremely helpful and gracious about the office and the legal parameters of the office.
Vice President Mondale, do you have some views on Cheney vice presidency?
A little bit different, I would say.
First of all, I actually...
And then Joe Biden basically has to try and walk that back. So, Jason, how do you think Joe Biden runs as the primaries progress?
I couldn't agree with more with what you said a moment ago. He has had his high water mark. I mean, who knew Mondale was so prescient and knew what the Democrat Party would look like today. But, I mean, we've already seen this happen with Pence. I mean, think back to, I can't even remember, we were teased so many times with the Biden announcement. Was it 3 or 4 weeks ago when they floated the whole idea that he would announce with Stacey Abrams as his, you know, pre-picked running mate. I mean, talk about just admitting maybe a moment of just knowing he was operating from a position of weakness. I don't see how he goes forward when you think about the combination of his actual positions on issues in the past and how out of step his positions, at least in the past, we know he changes every day, are with the crazy Democrat Party of today. And just the fact that he ain't the most deft guy on his feet, you know, he's going to have a lot of really interesting gaffes. And I don't think he holds up to Bernie.
We're speaking with Jason Johnson. He's the chief strategist for Ted Cruz's 2016 presidential campaign and the head of J2 Strategies. So, Jason, let's turn to the other side of the coin, President Trump. So President Trump obviously polls very poorly among older Americans above the age of 65. He's actually not polling all that well, which is somewhat surprising. He polls very poorly among millennials. He polls very poorly among minorities. And in a lot of the generic polling right now against various Democratic candidates, he appears to be trailing. How do you evaluate his chances going forward to 2020?
Well, I tell you, you look at this latest CNN poll. First of all, if we want to just talk about polls, and they asked for your approval of the way President Trump is handling a series of issues. They had economy, healthcare, immigration, foreign affairs, and race relations. Now, not surprisingly, he was upside down in most, especially when you look at the sample. But, and I know you've been talking about the economy a lot today, as everyone appropriately, he was plus 15 on the economy, 56 approve, 41 disapprove. In March, that same poll had him at plus 9, which was great, but from plus 9 to plus 15 is obviously a very good trend. Furthermore, if you look at another measure, just sticking with the same CNN poll, and you go back and compare him to where Obama was at about the same time, which is basically, do you think he's doing a good or a bad job? He's not far off of Obama. And I personally think, in looking at just general approve and disapprove polls a whole lot, that we've entered a period of time, and frankly, I think it started during the George W. Bush administration, where the simple question of do you approve or disapprove of a particular politician is not necessarily the most accurate measure of whether or not someone is going to win re-election. I mean, you know the election models and prediction models as well as I do, Ben. I mean, you look at all of them, and you got to believe the president's Trump's chances, his odds are very good. The betting markets have his odds very good with GDP growth, unemployment at record lows, wages going up, et cetera, not to mention, the, as you said, the clown car. I mean, it's like an endless tap of crazy on the other side. I think his odds, I'll tell you this, his odds of reelection, in my personal opinion, professional opinion, are a heck of a lot better than I would have predicted back in November of 2016, right after he ran.
Well, given all of that, what is the greatest threat to President Trump in terms of this election? I've said for a long time that if the president could just stop talking for 2 years and just point at Democrats, then he should be elected pretty easily. The problem seems to be that he gets in his own way a lot, and a lot of his biggest fans like to say that that's the stuff that they love, is when he mouths off, is when he's tweeting, when he's on the attack. And there is certainly a role for concerted attack that is directed against socialism, directed against particular candidates. He's a wrecking ball on that sort of stuff. But it seems to me that if you don't want to alienate suburban women and bring them out to the polls to vote in massive numbers against you, the thing that you want to avoid is exactly the same sort of activity that the base sometimes wants most.
Sure. I think that's true. However, as you know, I mean, think back to 2016. And when we had, you know, a million Republicans running in a primary, at this point in that election cycle, if you turned on cable news at any given hour on any random channel, 9 out of 10 times, what would you watch? You would watch wall-to-wall coverage of the Republican primary. You're not seeing that today. And the reason is because, I mean, Donald Trump continues, whether it's positive or negative, let's set it aside for a moment, he continues to drive and nominate the narrative like nothing we've ever seen. And I think, first of all, that's a real problem for the Democrats, particularly those who are lesser known, because there's no amount of money you can spend in a presidential campaign that replaces the currency of earned media. And he's just a giant black hole that dominates earned media. But to your question of, you know, what's the greatest threat? I think the greatest threat is if suddenly the economy turns. I mean, everything right now, he is buoyed by a strong economy. And I think that's the number one threat. Sure, I think all of us have, you know, look at Twitter now and then and say, man, I wish he would back off a little bit. But I think we both know that's not going to happen. And let's give him props in one area. The Hill just published a story on immigration where this college you may have heard of, Harvard, and Harris poll just put out that 56% of Americans now say that there's a quote-unquote growing crisis at the border. There's a quote in that story from Mark Penn, who's involved in the poll, that says a surge in immigration across the border has changed public opinion so that, quote, they now believe the country is facing a national emergency. You think, right? 47% of Americans now believe that asylum laws need to be tightened to accept fewer claims. So while the style sometimes may rub suburban soccer moms, as you put it, wrong, sure. I mean, his relentless pounding the ball, if you will, we're starting to see signs of what I've always believed the common sense position on the issue really is becoming the majority issue. And so I think he has to continue to press forward on these common sense issues that people, frankly, at the end of the day, agree with him on, even if they may be a little put off by the style.
Well, Jason Johnson, Republican political strategist, founder of J2 Strategies, I appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining the program and hope to see you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ben.
In just a second, we're going to get to President Trump, who is pushing forward with a slightly different message. He's going after the intelligence community and fighting back against Democrats who are trying to push him for more information from his administration so that they can pillory him. We'll get to that in just one second. First, would you pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought tooth and nail for government-run health care? An organization that stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? You wouldn't. Well, then why are you looking at joining AARP? Stand instead with nearly 2 million others by joining AMAC, the conservative alternative instead. Wouldn't you rather belong to an organization like AMAC that fights for your values, like protecting our borders, supporting small business, defending your individual freedoms? Becoming an AMAC member means standing up for our Constitution and for the innocent unborn. It means standing firm in the fight against socialism. What's more, AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, minus the liberal agenda. Do me a favor and do America a favor. Join right now at amac.us. That's amac.us. Tell your family and friends, too. The benefits are great. The cause is even greater. Help AMAC fight the good fight by joining today at amac.us. There is no reason to forward the aspirations of the AARP, which routinely sides with Democratic politics over conservative politics. Go check out amac.us. That is amac.us. amac.us. Okay, President Trump is getting, I think, a little bit and rightly angry at the Democrats who continue to push forward with more and more and more investigations, despite the fact that Robert Mueller did his investigation and it took years and years and $25 million. And at the end of the investigation, Mueller could not come up with anything that justified him apparently recommending prosecution. Instead, he washed his hands of the entire decision. Now Democrats are trying to call Don McGahn to testify. Why? Because President Trump at one point had allegedly told Don McGahn that he wanted Don McGahn to lie about his desire to fire Robert Mueller. And now, as William Barr pointed out, asking a lawyer to lie, but not to a criminal proceeding, not to a judicial proceeding, is not, in fact, subornation of perjury. It's not a crime, as point William Barr made. Here's President Trump saying, I'm not going to make Don McGahn, my lawyer, available. I'm going to declare executive privilege. He's not testifying. We're done here.
Well, I've had him testifying already for 30 hours.
So is the answer no?
And it's really so. I don't think I can let him and then tell everybody else you can't, because especially him, because he was a counsel. Mm-hmm. So they've testified for many hours, all of them. Many, many, many people.
So as far
people.
As you're concerned, it's really kind of done.
I can't say, well, one can and the others can't.
Okay, so is it done?
I would say it's done.
Okay, so he is correct about this, of course. McGahn had told Mueller that Trump told him to fire the special counsel. According to Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 election, Attorney General William Barr said that Mueller did not find sufficient evidence of obstruction. Well, the desire to fire the special counsel, who then is not fired, does not amount to obstruction. I mean, McGahn did the right thing. He stopped Trump from doing all of that and making himself open to such charges. And now Trump is saying, listen, we are done here. We're not going to keep rehashing this thing over and over. He does have that prerogative. Now, Trump is also criticizing the intelligence community, pointing out that there has been a long-standing question about the propriety of the Trump-Russia collusion investigation, especially now that it turns out that not much was found. Here's President Trump saying that James Comey, former FBI director, quote-unquote, led the spying against me. I think this is a little bit overstated, but we will find out soon enough.
Can I ask you a question, President Trump? Yeah. If you take Director Comey out of the equation and his actions in 2016 and 2017, would the country be where it is today?
I think that he did a terrible job. I would say he probably led some kind of an effort. The word spying has been used. He probably was one of the people leading the effort on spying. So
it's a very serious charge
to
make.
I know, and we'll find out whether or not it was true. And I think it could very well be true, but we're going to find out pretty soon.
Well, we are going to find out pretty soon. The Inspector General of the DOJ, Michael Horowitz, is supposed to come out with his report in the next couple of months, and that will be blockbuster. We'll see if the media even care about covering that. Well, in a second, we are going to get to Mike Pence and the Democrats continuing to put pressure on William Barr. Plus, it's a Friday. That means it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We'll get to all that in just a second. First, did you know that you can watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show? You can, but you do have to be a Daily Wire premium subscriber. How can you become a Daily Wire subscriber? Just go to dailywire.com. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of this show, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Moll Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and more. Plus, as part of a limited time offer, you'll get the exclusive Leftist Tears tumbler, so you can drink your Leftist Tears, or coffee, or tea, whatever you're into, hot or cold. You ever wonder what the man behind this deep, mellifluous voice looks like? You want to watch or listen to this show at your desk while pretending to do work? Go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. This is the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand. There is no other way. So go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page, and make it happen right now when you go to dailywire.com. Right, coming up, it's Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We break down a children's stories for signs of being either unwoke or woke. And then we evaluate. Plus, Mike Pence goes after Ilhan Omar for being ignorant beyond all belief. We'll get to all of that momentarily. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a Friday. That means it's time to lighten up. I mean, it's been a heavy week. There's been a lot going on this week. And that means that it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW story time, that time of week when we evaluate a children's book, either old or new, for proper woke messaging. So we begin Uncle Ben's SJW story time. Today's book, girls and boys, is if, and children of unspecified gender, is If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Written by Laura Numeroff and Felicia Bond is the illustrator. If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk. So already, this book is sufficiently unwoke. Not woke. How do you know that? Are you calling that mouse a deadbeat? How do you know what the historic experiences of that mouse have been? And whether it's justified. Maybe you took that milk away from the mouse in the first place. Maybe the prior owner did. What do you know, capitalist pig? When you give him the milk, he's probably going to ask you for a straw. Again, what is this giving? The means of production belong to the proletariat. Enough of this nonsense. Maybe the strong belongs to the mouse. Would you even have a glass of milk if it weren't for the mouse? You would? So what? When he's finished, he'll ask for a napkin. Then he'll want to look in a mirror to make sure he doesn't have a milk mustache. When he looks into the mirror, he might notice that his hair needs a trim. So he'll probably ask for a pair of nail scissors. When he's finished giving himself a trim, he'll want a broom to sweep up. See, you prejudged the mouse, didn't you? But that mouse, it turns out, is a hard worker. A little bit of a hand up from that social safety net. And that mouse, everything's great. He'll start sweeping. He might get carried away and sweep every room in the house, because that's what happens, guys. Welfare leads to greater productivity. Did you know that? So you thought that this book was going to be unwoke? Wrong! It's taken a turn. He may end up even washing the floors as well. When he's done, he'll probably want to take a nap. You'll have to fix up a little box for him with a blanket and pillow, but you owe that to him. I mean, he just worked really hard for you. I mean, workers' rights and everything. He'll crawl in, make himself comfortable, fluff the pillow a few times. He'll probably ask you to read him a story. So he'll read to him from one of your books. He'll ask to see the pictures. When he looks at the pictures, he'll get so excited he'll want to draw one of his own. He'll ask for paper and crayons. See, once you free mice from job lock, they become the sorts of artists who don't need to rely on their jobs for health insurance. They can now draw, and they can be creative. This is what mice do. He'll draw a picture. When the picture is finished, he'll want to sign his name with a pen. Then he'll want to hang his picture on your refrigerator, which means he'll need scotch tape. He'll hang up his drawing, stand back to take a look at it. Looking at the refrigerator will remind him that he's thirsty. So he'll ask for a glass of milk. And chances are that if he asks for a glass of milk, he's going to want a cookie to go with it. But now you've learned your lesson, that if you provide the proper welfare resources to mice, not only will they clean your house, they will also end up creating for you beautiful works of art. So a book that began as an unwoke, late-stage capitalist manifesto ended up with the proper messaging. Thank you if you give a mouse a cookie. Really appreciate it. Okay, in other stupid news. So it is amazing what makes headlines in America and what does not. So take, for example, a representative. His name is John Rogers. John Rogers is a delight. He's an Alabama state representative. And he's been in the Alabama State House for decades at this point. Here is Alabama State Representative John Rogers explaining that when it comes to abortion, some kids are unwanted. So you could kill them later, or you could just kill them now. You know, like, why would you? Okay, so the kid's like 4. You could drown them in the bathtub, but, like, why wouldn't you just, like, kill them now and suck their brains into a sink or something? Here's a crazy person making an argument in favor of abortion.
I'm not about to be able to male tell a woman what to do with her body. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I'll kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
Okay, so, sure, we shouldn't make a decision because you might want to kill your kid when he's 7, so you should kill him preemptively. So then, this person was called on it, John Rogers, And his response was, it got worse, by the way. He then advocated for abortion, and he advocated for abortion, this is a quote from him, highlighting retarded and half-deformed babies. This guy is sit. Has this made a national headline anywhere outside the right, anywhere? Then he was asked about it, and he said, listen, abortion should be legal, because then they could have killed Donald Trump Jr. preemptively. Oh, my goodness.
Do you have a response to the president's son?
Hey, that's an honor. Donald Trump Jr. did that. Thank God. Right on. That's if you know him right. Because I don't know that he's been right on since he's been here.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff says North Korea has fired an unidentified short-range missile from its eastern coast.
Firing Saturday come amid a diplomatic breakdown that followed the failed summit earlier this year between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un over the North's pursuit of a nuclear arsenal that can target the U.S. mainland. The Joint Chiefs of Staff says the North's missiles were fired from Wonsan on the east coast. It says South Korean and U.S. authorities are analyzing the details of the launches. The missiles flew some 125 miles before landing in the water.
That is correspondent Keith Peters reporting. Officials say that the charter plane traveling from Cuba to North Florida ended up in a river at the end of a runway, though no critical injuries were reported. A Naval Air Station Jacksonville news release says that a Boeing 737 arriving from Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, crashed into the St. John's River Friday night. The plane was in shallow water and not submerged. Officials say that everyone on the plane was alive and accounted for, with 21 adults transported to local hospitals in good condition. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports that the Trump administration says that strong jobs report is a result of President Trump's economic agenda.
Economist Diane Swonk says some analysts worry the economy would barely grow early this year and there might even be a recession.
I think we can certainly put those worries, for this year at least, behind us.
And maybe beyond.
We have entered a very strong and durable prosperity cycle.
White House National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow says you can credit President Trump's tax and regulatory cuts.
His policies are in the process of rebuilding the American economy.
Republicans say that they will appeal a federal ruling that orders Ohio to draw a new congressional map for 2020 elections. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring is prime home buying season, so if you're thinking about buying a home, right now is the time to lock a low rate, which can save you money every month on your new mortgage. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
A man was seriously injured when he fell into the crater of a volcano in Hawaii, correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
The man was at the Kilauea volcano and was at the steaming bluff overlook when he
stepped over the safety railing and slipped literally off the edge into the crater.
Fire Chief Matthias Kusch told KGMB the man fell about 40 to 60 feet.
He remained until National Park Service and Hawaii Fire Department personnel rappelled down.
The chief ranger at Kilauea is reminding visitors never cross safety barriers, especially around dangerous and destabilized cliff edges. I'm Ed Donahue.
More than 1,000 people have died from Ebola in eastern Congo since August. Four deaths in the outbreak's epicenter of Katwa helped push the death toll to 1,008. Two more deaths were reported in the city of Butembo. News and analysis at townhall.com. Budget experts for Congress say that the Trump administration's plan to reduce out-of-pocket drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries will cost taxpayers another $177 billion from 2020 to 2029. Here's correspondent Jeremy House with more on the story.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office analysis could affect prospects for one of the administration's centerpiece proposals to lower drug costs. Under the plan, drug maker rebates now paid to insurance companies and their middlemen would instead go directly to seniors in Medicare's Part D program when they fill prescriptions. While that would reduce copays for many beneficiaries, CBO projected it would increase taxpayer-subsidized premiums, adding $170 billion to program costs. Medicaid spending would increase by $7 billion. CBO concluded that drug companies are unlikely to lower list prices in response to the plan. Jeremy House, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The president's made charges that he's not going to be able to prove because he will never prove that Barack Obama ordered the tapping of his phones in Trump Towers.
Yeah, nobody's ever going to be able to prove any of that stuff. Besides, it wasn't spying. It was electronic surveillance. And they weren't spies. They were confidential informants. And who can say that the Obama administration was spying on the Trump campaign? Nobody can say that. What an outrageous claim. Bang the gong. Oh, boy, is there a lot of fun stuff today. Let me just warn you right now. There's a whole bunch of stuff. We got corrupt Democrats in Chicago, corrupt Democrats in Baltimore. I've got, this may be my favorite story. Hey, Peter Baker is a New York Times, longtime New York Times correspondent. He's a reporter. And he wrote a book about Obama, and it was a positive book, let me tell you that. And he's updated his book with lots of new information that is just a ton of fun. about, and it's, you can take it to the bank because he's an Obama supporting New York Times reporter, dyed in the wool lifetime Democrat and all that good stuff. And so he's not going to print things that are scurrilous or outrageous or false or that will lead to his not being invited to the best cocktail parties on the Upper West Side. He's going to stay within the party lines. And in the updates to his book, he has all this detail about Barack Obama on election night that we've never seen before. And it turns out Barack Obama did not enjoy election night. And who do you think he blames for everything that happened on election night? It's a great deal of fun. What do you think he was doing on election night when Hillary Clinton was losing and his legacy was about to be destroyed? What do you think Barack Obama was doing, huh? Huh? Well, I have it right here, and I'm going to share that with you because it's pretty darn hilarious. Let me just tell you that. I was laughing out loud on my couch this morning, reading the story on my iPad, looking at the Jumbotron with my remote control nearby and my best girl nearby, and we're just... And it's great stuff. This I don't even want to tease it any more than that, but it's just it's great fun. Great fun indeed. Also, spying? What spying? I'm shocked to find that there was spying going on. And now the New York Times, and again, see, when the New York Times says that all liberals must believe it, it's essentially the burning bush to them because they destroyed that whole burning bush thing and they've replaced it with their party. And, you know, their guys can slow the rise of the oceans and change the climate of the planet Earth because they have that power. And it turns out that New York Times, the New York Times has discovered at long last that there wasn't, and they use the word spying. They call it spying, which is really going to anger James Comey because it wasn't spying. It was electronic surveillance. Okay? Can you just stop saying spying, New York Times, because Comey says it's electronic surveillance. Now, Comey, he's still got his Manderson Pooper town hall meeting next Thursday night on CNN. It's like I'm promoting it for him. I'm not. It's going to be a mockery of a sham. It's going to be a disgrace to Western civilization. But I'll record it and I'll watch it for you. And then I'll make fun of it on Friday. That's a week from today, I think, isn't it? I hate to plan that far ahead, but I think in this case I can probably do that. William Barr, the lynch mob is the long knives. They whipped out the hemp rope for William Barr. And I think I know why, and I'll share that with you, too. It has something to do with corruption. With ethical corruption, moral corruption, essential corruption, a corruption of their essence, you know, branch water and whiskey and all that good stuff. But before I get to all of that good stuff and plenty more, too, because there is a lot of good stuff, you probably heard about the Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, the virulent racist anti-Semite, friend of Obama's, friend of the Democrat Party, friend of Keith Ellison, a lifelong Democrat supporter. The Minister Louis Farrakhan was, he had his thing yanked, what? From Facebook. What do you call it on Facebook? Yeah, his page? He had his thing. He had his thing yanked from Facebook. And the Washington Post, and it wasn't even Facebook's fault, but the Washington Post then went ahead and said, far right. They called the Minister Louis Farrakhan a far right wing leader, which is pretty funny because it's just how corrupt they are. It's their politics. It's everywhere. Dripping from every edition of the corrupt Washington Post is their agenda, the agenda of the Democrat Party. It's just that when you pick it up, your hands are sticky with the agenda of the Democrat Party. If you should pick it up, you should try to avoid that probably, but that's the Washington Post. Owned by Dr. Evil, the richest man in the world, and their slogan is, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. Before I get to those and many other wonderful things, the CNN poll. I love this CNN poll. It should be spelled P-O-L-E in this case because this thing is really something. It is unbelievable. It is, bad news for President Trump. And on MSNBC and CNN this morning, I actually didn't even see him talking about it on CNN, but it's their poll, so I'm sure they did talk about it. But the people on DNC TV, the Pigeon Sisters, the bleached blonde bouffant guy and his flotation device of a wife, they were saying they couldn't have been more excited. They were giddy. They were squealing with delight, like Ned Beatty, kind of like Ned Beatty. And, that wasn't delight, I guess, but they were squealing anyway. And they were very excited because, according to the new CNN poll, everybody beats Trump. In a general election, if it were held today, fortunately for President Trump, I guess, the election isn't for a flipping year and a half but thanks to the permanent campaign that has been inflicted upon us by the Democratic Party, we can't let it go for a single day. We have to have it drilled through our skulls by force, involuntarily, every day. Oh, and the polls today for the election, which is a year and a half from now, shut up and go away, all right? Tend to the children that will grow up to hate you. Go home and cut your lawn. And I know you got illegals doing that. You don't have to do that. But before I get to all of that, I keep saying before I get to all of that, we got new economic numbers out today. And the economic numbers, stand by, I should have a drum roll. We should have, what is a drug roll exactly? Well, you take Quaaludes and a tortilla, I think, is what you do. Here it is. We were waiting for the jobs number today, the employment numbers out this morning. U.S. creates 263,000 jobs. What were we expecting, 180,000 jobs, something like that? Creates 263,000 jobs. You know what everybody says? Thanks, Obama. See, this, Democrats are so delusional. They're like worshipers of Kim Jong-un or something. Creates 263,000 jobs in April. Unemployment rate falls to 3.6%. I'm sorry, what? That is a 49-year low. I'd say you just go ahead and say 50 years, and how long ago is that now? 1969. So going back to 1970, when most of the people in America were not alive. Okay? Most of America was not alive in 1970. That's the last time we had an unemployment rate this low. Okay? Anyone? And let's see. Whose unemployment rate was that back then? Let me see if I can remember who was president in 1970. Oh, it was Richard Nixon's unemployment rate.
Just say thank you, please.
Just say thank you, please. The economy generated a stronger than expected 263,000 new jobs for Americans who were looking for jobs in 1 month. One simple month, the month of April. Spring is in the air, helping to drive down the unemployment number to a 49-year low of 3.6%. This, remember, all that they say, you can't be done. It can't happen. This is why the Democrats are yelling about William Barr and calling him all kinds of scurrilous names that are false and slanderous and all that stuff. Because they can't run on their record, and they can't run against Trump's record. So they have to slime people, and that's what they major in anyway. I mean, honestly, most of them have advanced degrees in sliming people. They're a slimy group of people, let's be honest. The increase in the new jobs easily topped the 217,000 Market Watch forecast. Easily topped 263,000, almost 50,000 more. The jobless rate slid from 3.8% in March to hit the lowest level since December of 1969. What was that? How old were you in 1969? Piercy? You were like 20 years away from being born or something like that. The average wage paid to American workers, that's us, we're workers, we're not taxpayers or anything, rose 6 cents, or 0.2%, to $27.77 an hour. But the Democrats want to force everybody to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. See, this is what a real economy does when you have real economic activity and real stewardship of the economy, legitimate stewardship of the economy, instead of a political agenda with an economy attached. The 12-month rate of hourly wage gains was unchanged at 3.2%. Hours worked each week fell by 0.1%. So there it is, the lowest unemployment rate since 1969, December of 69. I think that's close to a song lyric there. The government revised the increased new job numbers in March to 189,000 from a preliminary of 196,000 in February. Blah, 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 blah. Got a little of this and a little of that. These are remarkable numbers. This is Trump's economy. This is the Republican economy. This is a big deal. U.S. hiring jumped in April. Unemployment falls to 3.6%. So forget about Obama's economy. Thank God Hillary Clinton wasn't elected, because she's an awful, terrible person, isn't she? She's just, honestly, let's tell the truth about her. She's a terrible person. And that's why she lost. And I don't want to tip anything off here, but that's kind of what Barack Obama was saying in the Peter Baker book, which is coming up. And great stuff there. So that's wonderful news. In the meantime, the Democrats are attacking William Barr, the Attorney General, and calling him every name in the book. And who's the chicken boy? Steve Cohen? Democrat member of the House of Representatives. These people are such a joke. They've got AOC and they've got Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Steve Cohen, the chicken boy. It turns out everybody calls him chicken boy. Did you know this? And he's eating the fried chicken with his fingers on Capitol Hill yesterday. And Hank Johnson sitting next to him was just terrified that the bucket of chicken was going to flip over like Guam, you know. Because this is our Congress. It's not the Congress that we want, but it is the Congress that we have. Gosh, good thing we have an election coming up in a mere how many months now? And then we have the election. What are we even focused on that for? Because we only have Beto said 10 years and AOC. I got some AOC news today too, because she's a big newsmaker, and some AOC news. She turns out she discovered. What, yesterday, day before yesterday, that salads aren't just delivered in a bowl. She discovered that they grow in the ground. The parts of a salad, they grow in dirt. She didn't know this, and now she learns. She's a member of Congress. I think she's the leader of the Democrat Party. And she learned that stuff that you put in a salad actually grows in dirt. And she has they have a community garden. And when she was gone, I think other people came along and planted stuff. It's like a kid waking up and finding gifts under the Christmas tree, because that's basically her mental age. And she showed up at her community garden, and there were things growing in it. And no one was more shocked than she was. Now, we think that neighbors went and stuck stuff in the ground, and then she was confused by this because she's not very bright. But that's the thing. And we've got that going for us tonight too. Today and the thing. Also, the mayor of Baltimore, after I left yesterday, she's a Democrat, in case you didn't know. Catherine Pugh, she resigned. She couldn't show up at her own resignation. This is, these Democrats, they resign, they don't show up. That's great stuff. Chicago, Democrat corruption up the yin-yang with Kim Fox and everybody being corrupt there. And a call for a special prosecutor to investigate all the corruption with these Democrats in Chicago. And the now former mayor of Baltimore, embattled Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, who has been away from the job amid corruption scandal centered around a children's book, announced her resignation through her lawyer Thursday. Her lawyer showed up to resign for her. She couldn't even be bothered. Somebody else resigned for me. I'm too busy. She had a letter, a statement of some kind, and she resigned because she's corrupt as hell. Corrupt as the day is long. You think this even made the news? You think anybody... I wonder if it's even in the Washington Post. They don't really cover news that's bad for Democrats. She's corrupt. She may end up going to prison. Kim Fox may end up going to prison. William Barr will never end up going to prison, but maybe Steve Cohen will end up the chicken of cell block C. Something like that, distinct possibility. Great stuff this morning. I was laughing out loud reading these articles this morning. Spy? What spy? Spying? That's not spying. That's electronic surveillance. These people. Collusion? Collusion was never against the law. Democrats, they're such worms. I got to tell you, I was how the worm turns. That should be a soap opera about the Democratic Party.
That should be called spying? Wow.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away.
So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
At Kohl's Friends and Family Sale, the savings add up with an extra 20% off. Save on a pendant and earring set for mom, just $79.99. Mommy and me PJs are 40% off, plus an extra 20% off. And save on the Keurig K-Cafe coffee maker, plus get Kohl's cash. $10 for every $50 spent. Wednesday through Sunday at Kohl's.
Select styles, 20% offer valid May 1st through 5th with promo code SHOP20. Some exclusions apply. Store or Kohl's.com for details.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you have a cute little reading nook for those rainy days when you want to curl up with a good book, but you don't even read, so you just sit in there during thunderstorms and scroll through memes on your phone and laugh in the darkness. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the dark, meme-filled corner you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Angela Aranella, buyer for toys at Party City. I have two little girls. I'm working to show them that women can work and still be moms. They think, actually, I'm kind of cool because I buy toys. What am I working for? I'm working to make kids happy. There's really no better feeling than that.
At ADP, we're designing a better way to work so you can achieve what you're working for. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people. Learn more at design.adp.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Wait a minute,
All right, AOC, you know her. She's a congresswoman from New York. She's a rock star. Rock star. Yesterday, the Washington Post had a story about AOC, and it began with rock star representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. My best girl was reading it. She read it aloud to me yesterday, and we laughed. This morning, I picked up the paper, and there's another story in the paper today about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You'll never guess how it begins. It begins, rock star representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You see, she announced a while back with great fanfare, thanks to the bootlicks at the Washington Post and beyond, that she was going to plant a 4x4 foot square community garden plot. Okay? She's going to plant stuff in there. See, she doesn't know where food comes from. She doesn't know where leafy vegetables come from. She doesn't know where carrots come from. What do you mean she knows where they go? No. I never said anything of the kind. But she planted a community garden, a plot in a community garden. These are big in Washington. They're big in New York. They're big elsewhere. And then she went back. And I think somebody went in and planted things in there because she went away and came back, I don't know how much later, you know, months later or something. And the thing is blossoming like Miracle-Gro has been tending to it. And when she arrived at her plot, this, and she's videotaping herself because, you know, her life is a movie about her.
Look at this! It like, look at the collard greens!
Collard greens!
They're huge! Look at your dahlias!
It's the soul train!
Oh my god, I don't have to trim all of these back for smoothies!
Trim them back!
I am shook!
She's shook!
Look, like, honestly, gardening, food,
gardening.
That comes out of dirt, like, it's magic!
Wow, it's magic. No, the Amtrak trains are magic too. Did you know that? Something about a train that she's shook. She's woke and shook. She's shook and woke. She discovered that leafy vegetables come from dirt, not the store.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Magic! Food that, like, comes out of like dirt. This is our Congress. And if you ask anybody at the Washington Post, she's a rock star. Whatever the hell that means.
I am shook.
She shook. She's all shook up. She's shook and she's woke. She's woke and she's shook. That's a food product, too, I think. Is it shook and woke, isn't it? That's you put a chicken in the thing there. Yeah, that's amazing. She discovered this. My community garden plot is doing well. I was nervous checking up on it today, she tweeted, because Congress has been out of session for 2 weeks for district work. Well, that should mean that you're tending to your garden, shouldn't it? I left it with a bunch of watering stakes bottles hoping for the best, but it blew up. Peep the collard greens. She's only growing soul food. I just want you to know. It's soul food only. It's a soul food community garden plot. The collard greens. I'm sure she's a big collard greens person, and it's not a political decision. See, here's what happened. She got some of those burpee seeds from the burpee seed catalog or something, and she's being woke and shook, so she planted her community garden plot. And then she went away for weeks, and when she came back, it looks like a picture from, community house and garden. It's everything is blossoming, and it looks like it's not 2 weeks worth of growth. It's people brought plants there and stuck them in the ground, and nothing around her is growing. The other plots aren't growing like her plot, but she comes with her. It's a miracle grow plot, and she's, and the first time since apparently the seeds went into the ground, and everything is big enough. Now she's going to have to clip them back to make smoothies, because like you know, smoothies.
Look at the collard greens. They're huge. Look at the dahlias. Oh, my God. I don't have to trim all of these back for smoothies.
Yeah, they don't grow that much in 2 weeks. Honestly, that's not 2 weeks' growth. And she's still, this is very confusing to her. The only place she's seen this stuff before is obviously in a restaurant or in a grocery store. Pretty amazing stuff, but she's woke and she's shook. And the Washington Post couldn't be more excited about all of this. They're just amazing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez planted a community garden plot, they write. It's good for the earth and her. This is it. I mean, it's like living in North Korea. It honestly is. And it begins, rock star representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently announced her intention, her initiation into gardening. In the form of a modest 4-square-foot community garden plot. Oh, it's so exciting. The Washington Post is, who typed this on behalf of the party? Adrienne Higgins is just very, she's woke and shook too, I think. Very shook and very woke. Amazing. Yeah, that's great stuff. And the Washington Post, they've got a picture of a different community garden in Philadelphia. She's from New York. She's living in Washington, so naturally they have a picture of a community garden in Philadelphia. And there's no suspicion that other people came along while she was gone and planted stuff for her to make it look like something that it's not. No, none whatsoever. It honestly is like North Korea around here these days. Yesterday I played audio of this this psychotic Democrat from Alabama. He was a little difficult to understand, but he loves abortion. And I heard some news report saying, oh, no, he's pro-life. See, yeah, he's pro-life, like Kermit Gosnell was pro-life. Now, this this guy, it's kind of amazing. A little yesterday from the guy. He's got this, he's a state lawmaker. They were debating abortion. And he had this crazy left-wing death to everyone kind of comment about if a baby is unwanted, you should kill it. And that's what he said, you know, like it's a cockroach on the floor. You should kill it. And he says, because if they're unwanted, we just send them to the electric chair and kill them there anyway. So, you know, kill them sooner, kill them later, kill them now, kill them down the road. What's the difference? We're gonna kill them anyway. This is the thinking of the left from yesterday.
Some kids are unwanted.
Some kids is unwanted.
Kill them now, kill them later.
Kill them now or kill them later.
You bring them into the world unwanted, unloved.
Bring them into the world unwanted, unloved.
Send them to the electric chair. Send him, kill him now, I'll kill him later.
Send him to the electric chair, he says, because that's pretty much... they still have the electric chair in Alabama? It works, that darn thing, doesn't it? It works real good, that electric chair. Well, it turns out that Donald Trump Jr. Decided to take a shot at the 78-year-old Birmingham, Alabama Democrat, and he called his comments stomach-curling. Can you believe that? What a harsh rebuke. He said stomach curling. That's about as harsh as it got. Now, after Donald Trump Jr. said that the comments were stomach curling, it's a news media organization went to him. It's NBC? It's NBC. The local NBC. And they went to the Democrat representative and they said, hey, did you hear what Donald Trump Jr. said about you? He said that your comments were stomach curling. And the Democrat Alabama representative, John Rogers, responded to the question from the NBC affiliate down there, because it's such a harsh thing to say it's stomach curling. First of all, stomach curling is a word. I don't know what that means exactly. I think I do understand what it means. But and Donald Trump Jr. said every Democrat running for president needs to be asked where they stand on this. The extreme turn we've seen from Dems on abortion recently is truly sickening. And boy, it is. It's, you know, kill them now, kill them later. Got the Klansman Governor Ralph Northam, the Democrat Klansman governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, who's a pediatrician, no less, a medical doctor. Say you put him aside on the table and, kill him later with a meat tenderizer or something like that. And make jerky out of him because it's like Motel Hell. You make beef jerky, sell it him a roadside stand. You can't let these things go to waste. It's like that. So they went and asked him, and this is what Roger said in response. And again, I'll have to do a little translation for you.
That proves the right to make a decision about abortion. Him being born, that proves the right to do. That's a very big defense I have for abortion, right to him. Look at him and say, why don't you have aborted him when he was born? But he would have made that stupid statement, right? So his parents made a decision for him. That's a decision he made for him. So that's the first proof I got. Mother of all had a right to have abortion. They made a decision to have him, then they could have aborted him. But they made a decision to keep it. So he's evidently retarded. Crazy.
Now, we're all Americans here, but some of us are a little more well-spoken than others. That was pretty incredible. After saying you bring him to the world unwanted, you kill him now, you kill him later, you put him in the electric chair, you kill him now, you kill him later. And then you say every Democrat running for president needs to be asked about this, and Rogers... said that the 41-year-old Trump is proof that he's right to make a scene about abortion. He says, him being born, that's proof right there. That's a very, very good defense I have for abortion, talking about Trump Jr. because he made this comment. His mother should have aborted him when he was born. It's a little disconnected there. But I guess it's not really in today's Democrat world. It's what Ralph Northam was talking about. You don't abort them when they're born. Well, but now they do. You used to be able to say with Democrats, well, you don't abort them when they're born, but now you can't say that anymore. So here it is. He said, that's proof right there. Very good defense for abortion. Mother should have aborted him when he was born. Okay. And he wouldn't have made that stupid statement. So should have aborted Trump Jr. so that he would never grow up to make this student statement. He's evidently retarded, he said. I don't think that's politically correct. Isn't that politically incorrect? He's evidently retarded, he said. Crazy. Donald Trump's son. I know there is something wrong with that boy, he said. That's it. That's today's Democrat Party moment in a nutshell. There it is. It's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because if this man were a Republican, he might have some issues with the news media might have something to say to him that they wouldn't say to this Democrat. I'm just saying. Has this guy been invited on MSNBC? He should have his own show, I think, on MSNBC. He does represent today's Democrat Party in pretty much every respect, I've got to say. Now let's go to the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail has a wonderful story today having to do with a reporter for the New York Times, Peter Baker, who wrote a glowing book about President Obama's presidency called Obama, Why I Fluff Him. That's not actually what it's called. I changed the title just a little bit. But the Daily Mail has an exclusive, and this is wonderful. Barack Obama admitted, quote, this stings, end quote, after the 2016 election result, and spent the night watching the movie Doctor Strange, not Doctor Strange Love, but Doctor Strange, to try to distract himself, a new book claims. The former president went from being confident that Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump to seeing it as a personal insult that he lost. Obama could not believe the American people had turned on him. For a man that he had written off as a cartoon. As the dust settled, Obama told his family that this hurts. This hurts. It hurts. Where does it hurt? I think we know where it hurts, actually. And blamed Hillary Clinton, who brought many of her troubles on herself and ran a, quote, scripted, soulless campaign. That's a campaign without a soul. I think, Barack Obama is not always wrong. He's every now and then he's right. And now that he's gone and he's sort of relegated to the ash heap of history, the eye-popping details are in the new edition of Obama, colon. They love their colons. The Call of History. Yeah, Jack London, Call of the Wild. By New York Times Chief White House Correspondent Peter Baker. So you know it's a glowing press release. The book was originally released in 2017, but has been updated with an extensive new bunch of reporting throughout Obama's time in office, and the run through the election day is electrifying. Obama was cordial to the president-elect in their face-to-face meeting in the Oval Office, but in private, Obama called Trump a con man straight out of Huckleberry Finn. Obama even likened himself to Michael Corleone in the Godfather movies, and said he was handing power over to somebody who would destroy his legacy. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. As Obama, not that it was that great in the first place, as Obama saw it, he almost got out. You know, you got Michael Corleone. I was Godfather Part 3, which should be banned. Nobody should ever watch it. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in again. But she didn't get pulled back in again. Nobody really wants you anymore. And he escaped the White House. See, he got out of the White House. He almost got out of the White House unscathed, like the mob boss nearly survived without being whacked. That's not really that he misses the, there's not a Godfather aficionado. Let's just leave it at that. Baker writes that Obama woke up on the morning of November 8th. That's Election Day, 2016, convinced he would not be handing the nuclear football over to Donald Trump. The reality television star, he thought, was a joke. Obama arrogantly thought there was no way Americans would turn on him, even though Clinton was far from perfect. Baker writes, she was a serious and seasoned professional who had served at the highest levels of government and provided mature leadership. Just important, she would continue his policies and cement his biggest achievements. His legacy, he felt, was in safe hands. Given that Obama had no formal role in the election, he went to the White House movie theater with his wife, Michelle, and advisor, Valerie Jarrett. Boom, boom. Where they watched Doctor Strange, the superhero movie starring Benedict Cumberbatch. Baker writes that Obama's phone buzzed with an update, and he said, huh? Results in Florida are looking kind of strange. Yeah, they were, weren't they? Michelle went to bed early. Sure she did. She tiptoed out of there. But as Obama watched TV, he looked on in horror as Trump won Pennsylvania. He won Wisconsin. He won Michigan, which had been Democratic for years. Baker writes, by the end of the evening, the unthinkable had happened. Obama struggled with what the American people had done and thought to himself that they simply could not have decided to replace him with a buffoonish showman whose calling cards had been repeated bankruptcies, serial marriages, and racist dog whistles. At 1 a.m., Obama sent a message to Clinton saying she should concede quickly, which she did. No, she didn't. No, that's a lie. It's a New York Times reporter. In a phone call to Obama, Clinton said, I'm sorry for letting you down. Baker writes, while Clinton had lost, so had he. The country that had twice elected Barack Hussein Obama as its president had now chosen his successor, a man who had questioned the very circumstances of his birth. That really stings, I guess. All these years later, he's still spun up about this birth certificate thing. We have one pinned to the wall of our studio with the little footprint and stuff. It's an internet fake, but it's pretty funny anyway. Gosh. While Clinton had lost, so had he. Obama may not have been on the ballot, but it was hard not to see the vote as a personal insult. It was. As he called it on the campaign trail, this stings, he said. This hurts. Yeah. It stung and it hurt. You know, it's not over yet because we're just starting to find out about all your illegal spying on your political enemies. You know, the IRS unleashed on your political enemies. Spying on the New York Times. They say, thank you, sir. May we have another. Spying on Fox News. Spying on the Associated Press. Spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Spying on the Trump campaign. And we're just scratching the surface on this right now. There's a lot more to come. So stand by, Barack. I think you're going to have a lot more fun.
You know?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. We'll be right back.
It's amazing, but true, when it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking, we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare. And it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is just one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So, yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-40-BIBLE. That's 855-40-BIBLE. 855-40-BIBLE.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
See, now you don't have to buy Peter Baker's updated version of his two-year-old book in praise of Barack Obama. The Steno Pool got together and typed up a press release and called it a book by Peter Baker. It's a thorough tongue bath, is what it is. Is that the technical term, tongue bath? I think it is. That's great. It's full. The story's full of great stuff. Obama tried to keep his cool in the weeks after the election that Hillary lost and texted his speechwriter, Ben Rhodes. It was actually his deputy national security advisor. He was lying about Obama not knowing anything about the spying just the other day. And here's what he texted Ben Rhodes. This is great. Get a load of this. It's like he's a high school girl who's longing for the high school football hero. He texted Ben Rhodes these words. I'm not making this up. He texted him, "There are more stars in the sky than sand on the earth." Oh, my God. Somebody get a restraining order. But soon after, he was unable to contain his rage, the roots of Obama's rage, which escalated after he met Trump in the Oval Office. Baker writes that despite being cordial in public, he afterwards summoned Rhodes, who told him that Trump peddles in beep. As the weeks went by, Obama went through multiple emotional stages, at times being philosophical, like the there are more stars in the sky than sand on the earth. Was he dressed in a sundress when he wrote that? Did he have daisies in his hand? Was he plucking them one at a time? He loves me, he loves me not. He went through multiple emotional stages at times, being philosophical, and at other times, he flashed anger. He also showed a rare self-doubt and wondered if maybe this is what people want. Oh, no, that can't be it. But then they decided it was all Hillary Clinton's fault because, after all, she sucks. And no one likes her. Her husband doesn't like her. Nobody likes her. Well, Huma Wiener likes her. But I think she likes peanut butter more.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.